You're listening to the Two Dead Chicks podcast. I'm Melissa.
I'm Kia.
I promise this is Melissa, even though it doesn't sound like it. today we are here to talk about season 7, episode 15. episode 16, the first day of the rest of your life. Before we get into all of that, just a reminder, you can find us on all the socials. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook at Two Dead Chicks. And you can find us online at twodeadchicks.com. And if you like what you see there, you can find our web girl, Caitlin, at alter.co. And that's A-L-T-A-R-E-D. And she's awesome. So she made our logo and everything. So if you guys need some web design work, Caitlin's your girl.
Thank you, Caitlin. And you can, I'm taking over the singing of things.
That's
singing
okay.
of words, since you can't.
I can't do anything right now. I sound like a man. You can find our podcast on Libsyn, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. And while you're there, if you'll leave a rating, let us know what you think. Whether you've been listening since the beginning or you're new to us, if you've never left a review, please leave one. It helps us to connect with more listeners like you. And now we started out with literally nothing, no feedback. And now we have tons of feedback every week, and it's awesome. So spread that word and get everybody involved. And speaking of feedback, we don't have any reviews, but we do have episode feedback, from last week. So we're going to start with that. We have feedback from Muyanzi. I'm hoping I'm saying your name right. She says, "Hello, ladies. Love the podcast and all that jazz, but I disagree on the issue that Negan can't be against rape because of his wives. I just don't get it. He is not forcing anyone to be there and have sex with him. Negan's relationship with his wives is no different from some women preferring being a celebrity's wife or girlfriend and not working hard than to work hard at a 9-to-5, married to some average Joe. A marriage of convenience is nowhere near close to rape. His wives want to be there. It's a lot better than the other alternatives in the zombie apocalypse. Trust me." What do you think about that?
Oh. Well, first of all, thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you.
That is, I disagree with that. I disagree with it because, well, first of all, you know, I will concede that we don't know the situation of all his wives.
True.
So that could be something that some women that he's with, they might have that mindset. But my issue with that comparison between, you know, some woman wanting to listen to Kanye's new workout plan is like, I'm about to get me a rapper, an NBA player, or at least a dude with a car. Like, that is something that they decided they wanted to do.
Exactly.
They went out, they were like, I got my eye on the prize, and there is no threat of death or dismemberment or threats to family members or like expulsion out into the community if they no longer want to do that. And from what I've seen of how Negan gets people to come there, nobody's just like living their life in Alexandria or the kingdom. They're like, ooh, I heard about this Negan dude. I'm about to go over there and see what's up.
Exactly.
They are spoils of war from what I understand. So
exactly.
Yeah, I don't see the comparison, and I think it's kind of, not necessarily you, but there's a rape culture that we're living in now, where there's a lot of things where you just kind of like brush aside because you're just like, oh, whatever, and you're kind of looking for a rapist to be someone who jumps out at you in a dark alley or jumps out of the bushes or something like that, because that's kind of how we think of rape.
Right.
But, I mean, it's anything where you're, you feel like you don't have a choice
exactly
to do this. So, I definitely disagree with who we've seen. Like, all the wives that we've seen don't want to be there.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, you've got the little one that drinks herself to death because right. she's so depressed.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I'm with you. I completely disagree as well. So, I cannot make that comparison because again, they made these decisions under duress for the threat of their loved ones, the well-being. They're not there because they want to be. And I'm not going to say like you said, we don't know if are they having sex with them. We really don't know.
Yeah.
But based on the way he talks, I feel like something has probably happened at some point.
Right.
Now, does he consider that consent? I mean, I'm sure he does, but that's the point. That's the right. whole point that we're talking about. For them, it would be consent under duress because they didn't want to be there.
Right.
So,
like, it'd be one thing if it was like somebody was in Kingdom, looked at Ezekiel like, ooh, I really like, you know, that cobbler that he gets.
That's right.
He gets special cobbler.
Right.
And we don't. I want that special cobbler. So I'm going to use my feminine wiles.
I mean, hey, Jada saw something she wanted this episode. Now, thought she's going to go after that.
No. But if you wanted to go after Ezekiel, you know, yes. okay, you know, because Ezekiel's not going to kill you if you decide you don't want to do it anymore.
Exactly. It's all about the mutual agreeance here. Right. So there we go. Birdmouse has written in. So that's awesome. Birdmouse feels differently as well. So she says, hey, ladies, great job with last week's podcast. As always, I love when you have special guests, but it was so nice to virtually hang with my Walking Dead girlfriends again. You two are the best, and I look forward to listening every week. My girl crush grows deeper and deeper for you with every Mean Girls reference and growly Daryl impression. Man, I'm going to have all the Daryl impressions today.
So she really just likes you.
Oh,
I see how it is.
You do good Daryl impressions too. I was shocked, like shocked, to hear you talk about Rishon fan fiction at the start of the show and discuss my writing. It was kind of like being a kid and running into your teacher at the grocery store like, what are you doing here? Anyway, I'm beyond flattered and appreciate your kind words and support for the fic community. You listed some of my favorite writers, especially Cake by the Pound and Black Lit Chick, who are just next level and inspire me to keep writing and trying to raise my game. You were right in saying that our fandom has some incredibly talented people who put so much time and effort into making this such a fun place to be. Can we talk about Ms. Doom and Gloom's incredible art, mm-hmm. your amazing podcast, mm-hmm. all the gift makers, blogs like Rishon Just Desserts that promote this great talent? I could go on and on because it's that crazy. And completely changing the subject for a moment, let me just add something about Negan to your discussion last week. Negan. The fact that anyone even entertains the idea that he's a good guy blows my mind. Let's think about his actions in 7:15. Rape is largely about power and control. Negan is all about power and control. Him saving Sasha was all about exerting power and control over one of his lackeys so that he could then have the power over Sasha. Do we see a pattern here? There wasn't a shred of decency involved in that decision. He's not a good dude at all. He's just all about himself. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but damn. And while I'm at it, he's not as funny as he thinks he is either. The only thing I'll admit to laughing at was his, and I fed him spaghetti line in 7:08. That was actually funny, damn it. Ugh, I hate him. Too many words, but you're just so cool and thought provoking that you bring it out of me. So sorry. Feel free to cut me off. Bye. We would never do that, Birdmouse. Never.
I love her. 7:08 did have some classic lines because I laughed at that and I laughed at the, he did have guts.
I know. That was good. That was good.
I also, this is not, it wasn't 7:08. It was Lucille Give Me Strength.
Uh-huh. Lucille Give Me Strength. Oh, that was so funny.
I'm really looking for that on a shirt.
Yes. Pretty confident we can find that.
Yeah, I don't even like Negan, but that line killed me.
Yeah, so that was it. Just a reminder, send us your feedback anytime. We'll be doing the recap episodes over the summer, so you know you can still send us your feedback. twodeadchicks@gmail.com. And Also, we have this little contest happening. We have a little bit more detail for you this time. So we will be drawing our winner on this Saturday, April the 8th.
Yeah.
So you have to get them in by April 7th. Send us your top five favorite moments from the whole season. Don't try to appeal to us. We're drawing it at random. Mm-hmm. We might still share some of your moments if you like. But each moment counts as a separate entry into our contest. And you'll be entered to win an autographed pop vinyl of your choice. Well, kind of your choice. We've got like four for you to choose from. So you'll get to choose between Morgan, Jesus, Herschel, and Rosita. Now, granted, we have two conventions coming up that we'll be able to get these from. If any of these people cancel on us, that's kind of beyond our control. So make sure to have a backup.
Yeah.
If you win. So yeah, twodeadchicks@gmail.com. So, are we ready for this?
Are we ready for this?
Yeah, what'd you think?
I really liked it. I liked seeing Eric coming out of here, guns a-blazing. I was feeling that. What else did I think? Let's see here. Rapey Davey finally got what was coming to him. Sasha, man.
Rapey Davey.
Was it Rapey Davey? Oh, no. It was Enid. Guy. It was veggie guy.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
Both girls. Rapey Davey got it last time. But, yeah. No, veggie guy. Veggie guy got it. Sasha. Oh, my God. There's just no words. Oh, like, oh. Her face and the music and the everything together. It was just heartbreaking.
It was.
But man, she went out the way she wanted to and with a fight. And she, you know, she was determined to make her last move to benefit the group. And
yeah.
Did she ever?
Yeah, I'm still a little torn on why Sasha felt she had to sacrifice herself. And I know in the conversation with Abraham, they brought that up, and I still don't quite know if I buy it, but out of all the problematic, in my eyes, ways that I've seen Black women or people of color, characters of color, go out on shows, this is the best. Mm-hmm. Like, so... it's just little lingering things, but I mean, they really did justice to the situation they created to have her go out. And thank God they did not go with what we talked about in a spoiler section. Yes. There was a comic storyline that they did do a little bit of a remix to.
Yes.
But not in the supremely offensive way we were praying they didn't, and they didn't. So
yeah. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
No, it was done beautifully and to her character, and I just thought she was amazing the whole episode. She was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Who else did we have this episode? Let's see here. I'm trying to think. There was something else. Oh, the thing with Carl. Like, I loved how, like, he was like, fuck this shit. He's like, he turns around, he shoots the person behind him. I'm like, hell yes, Carl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now that kind of like impetuousness I can take. I'm like, that's right, Carl.
That's right.
Kill them all. Kill them all.
That's right. Man. Oh, he was fantastic. Yes. I loved that so I liked much. He's like, I know there was something I want to talk about. That was it. That was wow. I loved it. And then, yeah, like the whole thing with Rick at the beginning, with where when he who shall not be named showed up. Yeah, I won't even say his name anymore. I'm so pissed. But just the look on his face when he realized that he had turned.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just the way the whole thing went down. But Carl is the man.
Carl is great. I liked it.
Love you, Carl.
All right, so... ready to get into it?
Hopefully my voice will hold up long enough.
All right. So this episode starts in the dark, and immediately there is a song playing. It is Donny Hathaway's Someday We'll All Be Free. And I freaked out because Donny Hathaway is my favorite artist. And Like, his voice is, it's not just that he's a good singer. It's like he, like, has this, like, soul connection. And just to hear him singing this song, I wasn't expecting it. And I, even though he's my favorite artist, stuff is on my iPhone. I have to be ready to listen to him. Like, if something just pops up, I'm like, ooh, am I in the right space to listen to this?
Yes.
So, just to hear it start and, just seeing Sasha's face like lit up and she's in this confined space and listening to it and to just think like that even in this like fake zombie apocalypse, this man's voice is still around to really minister to someone who is, you know, trying to come to terms, come to grips with such a like life altering decision. It really overwhelmed me. Like I couldn't take it. Like, I didn't even know what was happening, like, the first 5 minutes. I was like, oh, my God.
Yes.
Donny Hathaway. So I was just, like, freaking Walking Dead. Like, you pulled this on me. And that they kept, like they kept playing it over and over. And every time, it just got me. And I was like, my God. And so, yeah, I have a lot of feelings wrapped up in that song anyway. And so it was just... I was like, well, I'm not ready for this episode.
Yep.
So yeah, that is how the show opens, is on that. And we see Sasha in this this tight, dark space. And she's like not really focused on anything. She's breathing shallowly. And then like her head kind of lolls to the side. And I mean, like I said, I was gone like the first 5 minutes. But then... second watch, I'm like, oh my God, that we just watched her die.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay.
I know.
So this is how we starting? Okay. This is all before the credits. And I'm sitting here just like, what?
Yep. Yep.
I'm glad you were live tweeting first, because like I said, I would have been like, what is happening? Did you figure out that she was dying when you saw that?
No, not initially. It wasn't until like we went back to it that I realized it. I wasn't sure what was going on, if she was just going in and out of consciousness or what was happening. But wow, that the pairing of the song with that moment and seeing like the almost like I guess like the comfort that it brought her, like as this, like, I mean, and a couple moments, the smile kind of just rested across her face. It was just like,
yeah,
whoo,
yeah,
whoo,
yeah, like, y'all. It's freaking haunting. Like, it was like, what is happening?
Well, and the song works. I mean, it means a lot for so many reasons, but it is very symbolic of what she's doing and setting herself free from this world and this situation. And
it's not only like the song can work on many levels, because just like it is in real life, like when the song came out, it was in the 70s, it was in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of, people kind of categorized it, grouped it along with like Marvin Gaye, like Mercy Mercy Me, and What's Going On and stuff like that, like songs that kind of talked about social change in that time. And it can definitely be thought of like that. But when you hear like one of the songwriters talk about why they wrote the song, like Donny Hathaway had a lot of mental conditions. He was schizophrenic. And so he wrote that song for his friend Donny, talking about his internal struggles, his mental struggles, like someday you'll be free from this.
Yes.
And so you can take that, talking about Sasha, but then you can also extend it to the Alexandrians and Hilltop. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like one of the lyrics is like, things are moving fast, hold on tight and you will last. And that's what these people are trying to do. They're just trying to hold tight to what they have and fight for it so that they'll be free.
Yep.
And I'm like, you, what?
It was,
oh gosh,
the most amazing placement that could have ever happened.
I loved it. I was like, yeah, who did it? I want to know who did it. I want to know who chose it.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
So after the credits, we come back right to the same spot. We're on Sasha's face. And we know from later in the episode that she's in a casket. But she is, this time she's a little more alert. She's still listening to Johnny. She starts talking to herself. She's like, hey, darling, wake up. And then we enter into the first of a series of flashbacks, death dream. What is this?
That's what I wondered. If I wasn't ever completely sure. Okay. I assume that it was supposed to have been flashbacks.
Okay.
Because it makes sense for it to have been flashbacks, but I was never completely sure.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was kind of like a, I thought it was like a death thing.
Yes.
Until a little bit later when she was talking about, I thought you died. And then the way she thought he died wasn't how he died.
Right. Because she had a dream.
Yeah.
Right. So that, yes, that was me too. Like, I kind of thought it was like you said, death dream at the beginning. And then I was like, wait, did this happen?
Yeah.
Okay. Why didn't y'all show us this before? Okay.
Yeah. Because they were like, we're just going to write something for Cutlets to come back, which
I am here for.
Yeah. Did you hear that he was going to be back?
I did.
So did I.
And I was so happy.
So yeah, he's back. It's Abraham. And he is saying those words that she was just saying in the casket. And so she wakes up and they're in their house, and she's kind of disoriented, like, what's going on? And then after she figures out that she's there, she goes to kiss him. That's the first Sasha Ham kiss we've seen. Indeed it is. Isn't it? How did you feel it?
Yeah. Not really. I want it to. Does that count? I want it to. I don't entirely get it. And I mean, honestly, like, we were just kind of talking about this off mic where I felt more chemistry with Sonequa Martin-Green and Michael Cudlitz on Talking Dead than I did in the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So, all right. You know, they're both dead now. So I guess we don't have to deal with this anymore. So I'll give it to them.
Sure.
Have it. Yeah. Cool. And so he tells her that Rick's taking Maggie to the hilltop because of some baby problems. And she's like, don't go. And then we flash to her in her cell. And Negan opens the door personally to bring her some food on a covered platter.
Smiley face pancakes.
Yes. He's back in his presentation scarf.
I noticed.
Oh,
it's a big day. He did say it was going to be a big day.
He did. He tells her, like, welcome to the first day of the rest of your life.
Oh, my God.
And he explains that she's going to help him get things back on track at Alexandria because she's such an asset to her people that no one's going to want to watch her die, especially not him. He's really come to just be kind of enamored with her. He says it at the end. You've got me wrapped around your little finger. And it doesn't even matter if she had a dick.
Thanks.
I know.
Okay.
But yeah, he's like, you're not going to die, but somebody's going to die today. And then she's like, what do you want from me? And then at that point, we flash to a recreation of the scene with Sasha and Maggie outside of that barn from season 5. Mm-hmm. It was like right after that tornado, right before they met Aaron.
Yep.
And they're just sitting out there. And that flash is only there for a brief second. It was so, I was like, is this yeah, because Maggie's hair is short. But I mean, everything else down to the clothes and everything, I was like, this is from 5.
So to me, that says death dream.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart. Like, I mean, it's so touching to think, like, of course, obviously Abraham would be in her thoughts, but that her, you know, like her and Maggie have become such good friends and
yeah.
They were the last people that she thought about. And it's just, oh,
right.
Gosh.
It's a lot. It is a lot. But yeah, once that's only for a brief second, and then we're back in Alexandria in that cell, and Dwight and Daryl are staring at each other, but Rick wants the focus, and he's like, "What are you playing at? Why can't you just kill Negan yourself if you want him dead?" And then Tara comes in out of nowhere, interrupts, and she's like, "That girl you killed, her name is Denise. She was a doctor. She helped people." And I'm like, well, he seems to just kill doctors a lot. So, I mean,
yep,
she can't take it too personal.
That's right. He has the type.
Yeah. And then he tries to clean it up like, "I wasn't aiming for her."
What? And why was he talking like that? Like, he was talking like he was talking to a Batman voice. Like, "There was no other choice." Whatever. Like, okay, stop.
He's trying to be Daryl. I thought.
Yes. But it made me think of Batman. He's like, "There's another choice." Okay, Dwight, shut up.
But yeah, when he says, "I wasn't aiming for Denise," this sets Daryl off. Daryl slams him against the wall, points his knife at his eye. And I was distracted by this because behind them, there was a window into the cell. It's clearly like 8 o'clock in the morning. Bright sunlight flooding in there. And I'm like, I thought this was night.
Yep.
But I see the sun. Why can't y'all just do stuff like this right walking dead? Can't you just like put like a curtain over something?
Seriously.
It's just like, no, it's just blazing in the morning. Like, okay. And so Dwight tells Daryl that he gets it if he just wants to end this whole thing by killing him. And he's sorry. And the only reason he did what he did was to protect Sherry. And I don't believe that. I mean, he's been such a dick about how he did it. And that's what I think is the missing link, is that we were watching him like be an asshole to Rosita, and just like be like so condescending, like Rosita, and do all this bullshit. And we saw him be like, "I want Daryl's bike," and just all this stuff that had nothing to do with Sherry.
Exactly.
This is just how he is. And so, no, just because maybe I might believe that you think that, you know, your wife is just the bee's knees and you need to do all this for her, doesn't negate all the shit I saw you do.
No, because it had nothing to do with her.
Yeah. And so Dwight's like, well, now that she's gone, I have no reason to be loyal to Negan. And then he reminds Daryl that the only reason that he escaped was because of her too. And I'm like, that would be all fine and dandy if Sherry was the one that was being held captive. But what does that have to do with Dwight?
Great question.
Like, what are you playing at? What does this have to do with anything? And then Dwight's like, "Negan, trust me. We can work together to stop him." And then he's like, "You knew me before, Daryl, and you know me now, and you know that I'm not lying." And I'm like,
yeah.
Who knows who from what, huh?
Exactly.
Is he talking about the woods? That's what he knows him from?
I guess. The and woods? I'm like, is that what you're really going to use? What?
Right. The woods where he tried to bring you back to Alexandria and you jacked him for his bike?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So this whole time, Tara has been pleading with Daryl to kill Dwight. She's been in the back like, do it. Do it. You knew Denise. Do it, Daryl. But I guess Daryl has looked deep into Dwight's eyes and decides that he's telling the truth. So he lowers the knife.
Maybe he heard some Roy Orbison when he looked into his eyes.
This whole thing was just, I didn't like it. But I just don't like Dwight. I don't like what they've done. And I don't think they've set it up well. But after he lowers his knife, Rosita just casually mentions that they have Sasha, if she's still alive. And Jesus is like, why didn't you tell anybody?
Yep.
He could have been the only way we could have got her back. And Rosita's like, because I don't trust him, but I do trust Daryl. Like, okay. What does that got to do with telling people?
Exactly. What does that have to do with telling anybody that Sasha is gone now?
Right.
Okay.
I also noticed that she didn't say boo about Eugene. Like, she didn't say nothing about nobody having Eugene.
Who? Who's that? I don't know anybody by that name.
Yeah. And so then Dwight is like, well, thanks for taking a chance on me. Just wanted to let you know that Negan is coming tomorrow. I can buy you a little time by cutting down a bunch of trees to slow them down so that Alexandria can get ready. And then he's like, once the saviors get here, you guys can just kill everybody real quick. Then I can radio the sanctuary, tell them everything's copacetic and cool. Then we'll drive the trucks back, kill all the loyalists, get the serfs to rise up and kill everyone at the outposts.
Seems like lofty goals.
Very lofty. Like, let's get to the how we gonna kill Negan.
Yeah, let's do that first.
He's just like, you take care of that killing thing. And then...
Also, did he chop down all those trees by himself?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't believe it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
that's some bullshit.
Was he the one that chopped down all the trees in the season 6 finale?
I guess. Like, I mean, he's like, I don't know, he's like a professional tree chopper or something in a past life.
Who's the deer? Who's the one with the blue bull? Paul Bunyan?
Was it? I can't remember.
I may be mixing up my story. I'm like, red dog, Clifford. Oh my God. Yeah, he's like Paul Bunyan out here, if that's who I'm talking about.
Who knows? Could be another Paul. I don't know.
Rick hears his plan. He's like, go on. because he doesn't have anything else at this point. It's an okay plan if you can just flesh out that whole how do I kill Negan part.
Right. Well, and if people haven't done it yet, so it must be pretty difficult.
Right. So then we flash to outside where it is nighttime. It's not 8 a.m. It is night.
They like to do things with time on the show.
And they watch Dwight leave, and Rick and Daryl discuss the implications of trusting him. And Daryl's like, should I? I'm so used to you doing the impressions. I'm like, should I do it? Should I try it?
Well, I can't remember what he said. If I kill him.
I'll kill him slow.
That's right.
I'll kill him slow.
I can't even bitch. When I get like in that even lower register, it just like turns into a squeak.
But yeah, Daryl's like, once this whole thing is done, I'm killing him. But if he's lying, I'm gonna kill him slow. Yeah. And Rick's like, if he's lying, we're dead in the water already. So whatever.
So have fun.
Yeah. And Tara has been staring at Daryl this whole time from her porch. What do you think about Tara just egging Daryl on?
I think that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not normally her thing. Like, she's very Little Miss Sunshine. Can't we all just get along? Whatever. And I totally understand her reasoning for being upset, but I wouldn't have ever expected that out of her. If anything, I would think that she would be more open to holding him prisoner than killing him.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like her. What do you think?
I thought it was weird, too. I thought it was, especially because we have had Tara's reaction really withheld from us about Denise because she got back from Oceanside and the whole reveal was off camera. We just came back to Tara sitting on the floor after Rosita told her. So Tara's been fine this whole time.
Exactly.
So I was just like, I don't know. I thought she dealt with it already.
Yeah.
I thought it was strange.
But I mean, I guess when you're faced with the person that actually did the killing, maybe that might elicit a different reaction. True. But it did seem a little weird. Again, I could see her wanting to imprison him or something, but I was surprised by that reaction. And then, you know, they would just like send him off on his merry little way. You know, it's like, so is Tara going to like follow him and kill him? What's about to happen? So we're all just going to let this go now after y'all just like made this big ass deal about it.
Right.
All right. Bye, Dwight.
So we're back in Sasha's casket, with Dani, and, she's channeling some more Abraham until it flashes back to them again. Again, she's channeling what he is saying to her, and he tells her that he needs to go, and he starts to ask her something when she cuts him off and tells him that she dreamt he died. And that's all of that little part. And then we go back to Sasha and Negan in her cell just after he's revealed his plan, but that we don't know yet. And he's just like, so that's what I need you to do. And he says, once we get inside, Lucille's going to take her three people and then we're going to be done. And she just balks at that. She's like, I can do this. Actually starts, she a tear escapes and mm-hmm. she's wiping it. He's like, are you shitting me? Are you serious right now? And she's like, I'll do it, but nobody has to die. And he's like, no, people definitely have to die. And then she starts to, the little fire, Sasha starts coming back. She's like, I'm not just going to let you, but he's like, so, you know, watch it. You're not letting me do anything. And then he, again, she's like, nobody has to die. And he's like, well, how about I take it down to one? And she's like, okay, all right. One person has to die. And I was like, oh, Sasha.
Yep. She's already picked who it is.
Yep. And then Negan, he's like, he starts chuckling. He's like, you know, you have me wrapped around your little finger. And it's not a man woman thing. I feel the same way if you had a dick.
My God. Okay. It's like, you're just the most inappropriate human ever. Negan. God.
It's like, what does that have to do with anything?
Right. And like, he says this stuff like, this is a huge compliment. It's like, check yourself. Check
right.
It. Nope. Stop.
And so he leaves her in her cell, closes the door, and leaves her with her thoughts of her and Maggie. So she goes back to that place. Next scene, we are back at the hilltop, and Maggie runs down everything that she knows. No Oceanside fighters, but Oceanside guns. Negan has Sasha. Daryl says they should trust Dwight. And Rick wants the hilltop people to stay there in case something goes wrong in Alexandria. But he doesn't know that Gregory might be out there snitching as we speak. So that's kind of where we all are with this. And I mean, he feels so strongly about this that he has sent Judith back with Enid and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought,
oh my God, was that baby is so cute.
I thought that was so sweet, though. Like,
oh,
just for him to just be like, not my baby girl. We can't have this.
Yes,
so
precious. The whole thing.
Judith can definitely walk now. Mm-hmm. Like, Judith just got up in the middle of the conversation.
God, she's so cute.
Was like, I'm done.
She's the cutest kid.
Yeah. Oh. Maggie is just going over all this stuff, thinking about if she wants to head to Alexandria anyway. She's weighing her options, and Jesus is glad that she's the one who's going to make the call. And Enid leaves with Judith. And as she leaves, she hands Maggie Glenn's / Herschel's pocket watch.
Which was sweet.
Yeah.
But also, I'm like, Enid, don't get too attached to being her caretaker. So you know this doesn't end well.
Yeah. I mean,
we want to keep you around.
Judith is like basically an adult now. So
basically, she's self-sufficient.
Yeah. Yeah. She has a job. She's a counselor. We saw she had successful results with Tara. So,
well... I mean, I guess she brought out, like, maybe, like, this is where the anger came from. She was like, let out your anger, Tara. It's okay. You're allowed to have your feelings.
So I'm saying, Judith is doing fine. So, whatever. So, after this, we are treated to a shot of the Knights of the Realm marching down the road to Alexandria. But I'm like, oh, you're walking down the road. Is there a rock in it? I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what's up with this story, Rick.
Uh-huh.
They're marching. They're carrying banners with the king's crest on it. everything. Like,
this is for real.
It is so for real. She was even here.
Yep.
Carol has taken over as head knight.
Okay, I guess. But Carol went from like, I don't want to kill nobody to guns up now, like full armor. Like,
yeah.
What in the girl? How did we get from point A to point B?
She doesn't half-ass anything.
No, she dives in head first, and she did.
Yep.
Now she's like, I don't know, leading the army.
That's what I'm saying. Cool. Head knight. She's like, guns up.
Damn.
And she says this when they see a line of shopping carts blocking the road, and some other knight is like, "No, it can't be. He's dead." And I'm like, "Some quality talent you got." Here, Ezekiel. It's like, is Richard the only one that can block a road with shopping carts?
I guess.
No, it can't be.
He's come back from the dead.
So then Morgan pops up out of nowhere, and Carol is basically having none of this. She goes over to him. She tells him that, you know, whatever you're doing, if you're trying to kill these saviors and you're working alone to do it, that will more than likely trigger retribution against the kingdom, and it'll give up our advantage. And I'm like, Carol, I know you've been in your shack of solitude this whole time, but that's been the theme of this entire season. Everybody's just going renegade, not thinking about the long-term consequences.
Accurate.
Everything short-sighted of, I got to kill somebody now, not thinking about what will happen to their people.
Yep. So what we needed was for you to come out of your shack of solitude and tell everybody what you just told Morgan. Thank you for being late to the party.
So after Carol, you know, gives him a little talking to, Ezekiel comes over and asks Morgan if he's just trying to lose himself, lose everything that he once was. And Morgan's like, I'm not trying to do it, but I'm stuck here. And Morgan has calmed down a lot since we last saw him. And I'm really just hoping that he's found a way to live in the peace of having to kill, of needing to kill people.
Yes.
Like, because that was my concern when he went crazy last time. I'm like, that he is living like in mental anguish when he does that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that for him. I want him to figure it out and get it together.
Yes.
Maybe he's,
I'm hopeful.
He should talk to Judith.
He should. Everybody should talk to Judith.
Yeah. So Zeke, he's like, I see you're wearing Benjamin's armor, and he wants to know if it's for Morgan or if it's in Benjamin's honor. And I'm like, it's got to be an honor thing, because that's ill fitting.
It is. Like,
it's not looking like it's trying to fit nothing.
Nope.
It's
like, maybe let's switch to something that fits. How about that? And maybe, like, we can put it up on a, like, I don't know, like on a wall, a big shrine or something.
Yeah.
Like, let's like wear something that's actually going to protect us.
Exactly. So the king urges Morgan to join them to form this alliance so no one will suffer under their capricious malevolence again.
Like, you're using a lot of words, like, Kang.
I know. Stop it, man. On a timetable.
Needs like a translator. We need to get like Jerry over here, like,
we don't need these doing, SAT
like, everyday
words.
People like translating. Like, okay, well, if you're not like from Renaissance times, this is what he said. Let's go kick some ass.
Exactly. Get to Alexandria. Stop talking. And then he like he stresses very hard to Morgan that he is not stuck. And so then Ezekiel rejoins the cavalry and leads them on. And after a beat, Morgan joins, which I liked.
I did too.
Come back to the people,
that's
Morgan.
That's right. Rejoin us.
Yeah. back to Alexandria, the RV is coming back in, leads the trash people back to Alexandria.
In actual garbage trucks.
A bunch of them are on bikes. They look like Debo from Friday. Just looking just real inappropriate on a bike. Like, what are y'all doing? But yeah, you're right. Garbage trucks.
Yep. Like, well, you guys weren't lying.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. I really can't. I feel like I was speechless when I saw garbage trucks driving up. Like, you guys really taking this trash thing
really far.
Yeah.
Yep. Agreed. Okay.
So they pile out of these garbage trucks, and one of these dudes has no way. Everyone has guns except for this one dude. He comes out of the truck. He's got a red umbrella. He's using it as a cane. Did you see him?
No.
Oh my gosh. He was just twirling around, just tap, tap, tappity tap with his umbrella.
I did not pay attention to that.
I'm like, what is he doing? He doesn't even have a gun. Like,
what? Like, oh God. Now I have to go back and rewind that.
Yes. I'm like, unless you're a penguin and this umbrella has a gun in it, I don't know what you're doing. Like, You're just here, just taking a stroll. I was like,
oh no.
I couldn't deal with the fact that it was a bright red umbrella and he's just looking around like,
Oh my God, I have to go back and watch this again.
So then Jadis pops around and she surveys this place. She's sufficiently impressed. And she walks up to Rick and Michonne. And Rick tells her that they're fighting for the people, not necessarily the place. He says, we're fighting for people, each other. He looks at Michonne. And then he tells Jadis that she's a part of their extended family now.
Taking that a little far, Rick.
That wasn't the deal, Rick.
No.
The deal was they fight, they get a third of the Savior's crap.
That's right. We don't have to be friends. Don't make this about being friends.
Yeah. It's like, this is a woman that threw you off a trash pile.
And yeah, and put you in with what was that, Wilbur or
Winslow?
Yeah, Wilbur was the pig. Never mind, yeah. Winslow.
Yeah. Yeah,
really?
It's like, this, you're a part of this protection.
No, shut up, Rick. This is why Michonne handles the negotiations. This right here is why, 'cause she would have been like, no, we're not family. We're definitely not friends either.
Yeah. As evidenced by Jadis out here looking at Michonne and then says yours and then kind of cocks her head towards Rick, and Michonne's just like, we're together. Yeah. And Jadis is like, I lay with him after. You care?
What the fuck?
No.
We about to take out the trash, Jadis. About to take it out.
Oh my gosh. And it was so funny because you and I had talked about, like, Jadis looking at Rick.
Uh-huh.
Kind of, we were like, I don't know about all this.
Yeah, I don't like the way you're looking at him.
Yeah, we talked about that off mic, but we didn't think she was actually going to say nothing about laying with him.
And what a weird way to... What? Yeah. I lay with him after. You care? I guess I care, bitch. I'm about to throw you off this dumpster.
I think all girl, of us, bye. Yeah, all of us was like, don't let us That's come right. in there, Jadis. All of us were showing people.
We will come at you.
Ooh. Yeah, Michonne hears this and her face falls. It just drops as she's hearing this. Rick's faces are fucking hilarious.
Hilarious.
He's looking at her like, who said that? No, I didn't know. Nobody said nothing about laying with nobody.
Yeah.
And then he tries to catch Michonne's eye, almost like he's trying to make sure that she tells Jadis no. Like,
yeah, like, don't, yeah. Don't sign me up for this. Don't sign me up for this. I know I said we'd be friends, but I don't want to do this.
And Michonne, ever the diplomat, she just is like, we should get back to work, and starts backing away. And Rick immediately is like, yeah, yeah. And he also backs away while, like, looking away to avoid all eye contact.
Uh-huh.
Hilarious.
Oh, my Hilarious. God.
The new Homer Simpson backing away.
It's into the totally. That's exactly. Yep. Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. It was iconic.
Oh, my God.
Iconic. And I'm just like, what? This is how.
Punch in the face, you care.
I just don't understand.
Bitch.
Okay. Here's the thing. After Rick and Michonne back away, Jadis turns back and looks at Tamiel and that other man in the robe. And she's like, what? Like, you can't know until you ask.
That's true.
And I'm like, on one hand, I got to give it to her because, like, if we can line up, you know, for a pass at Michonne's man, and just because she asked, I'm like, well, I'll get in line too. Thanks, Jadis.
That's right.
Thanks for opening the door.
Never thought this was a possibility.
I know.
But since we're all here.
All right. At least you asked.
This is true.
At least you asked Michonne.
Her face was hilarious after that. Like, well, I mean, you can't hate me for trying. Hate the hustle.
I feel like she'd have a better chance with Daryl, though. I mean, he's whatever.
I mean, just as good as any, right?
He doesn't shower, so.
It works.
He's probably used to it. I'm like, this is also like, the fact that she knew that they were about to betray them, and she was just like, well, I'm about to, I mean, whatever.
I know. That's what I was like, wait, what? So I lay with him after, like, so after we betray them, like, okay, that he's definitely going to want to hook up with me after that.
Well, that's why she asked Michonne.
That's so funny.
That's why she was like, I'm not even dealing with him, Michonne.
Not cool. Not cool. And then again, consent. Consent.
Yeah.
It still works with men too, guys. We can't just be like, give it. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you totally take a whack at that one. No, that's not how this works. Shit.
But yeah, Jadis is lucky she didn't get shanked.
She is so like, lucky.
You don't do that. Don't come after somebody's man like that. World hasn't changed that much, even though you're talking like it has.
I mean, seriously.
So after that, after that weird scene, we are inside the Trust a Move moving van. I was like, oh. Like, bust a move. And mm-hmm. you love it. I was like, that's cute. Rosita and Aaron and Daryl are setting up some explosives. I mean, I could buy her diffusing the ones with the Duracell battery. I mean, it seemed fairly simple, like science project in third grade. Like, it was still dangerous. I don't know that I would want to do it. But, you know, just take it off the coil. That seems fine. This seems like some next level shit. Like, they're using iPhone chargers. I don't know what kind of cords are coming out.
No, yeah, and I guess she taught Aaron and Daryl everything she knew.
Yeah.
I guess.
That she learned from some dude.
And what time did she manage to... That happened real fast, too.
I don't... That's what I'm saying. I don't know that I think that what happened later was because somebody disarmed it. It's just because you didn't set it up right.
Right.
Like, I just don't know that I trust your skill level this much.
I agree with that.
Like, she got, what are those cards? Like logic boards. And uh-huh. I'm like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we got the bomb expert. So, so on the Savior's Road to Alexandria, Dwight's brilliant tree branch plan worked, and Negan and Boss Savior discuss some like nefarious plan B while Veggie Guy brings out the the chainsaw like that they just carry in case
happen to have it.
In case trees are in the road. I mean,
you never know when you'll need a chainsaw. Don't you keep one in your car?
But I'm saying you can't hate because they needed a chainsaw.
That's true.
Just like you can't mark batteries too explicitly just in case Rick and Michonne are walking by and they need some batteries for their walkie.
That's right.
So I'm just saying, I can't hate the hustle that the Saviors have.
You just can't.
And so Eugene comes up and he offers his services to cool their jets and slow their roll regarding the Alexandrians, regarding his friends, regarding the ones who kept him safe and fed.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything he said. Who was that?
I mean, it's like,
do we know him?
It's one thing to just keep your head down, whatever. But he's like, let me at him. I'll get them to acquiesce. Like, okay,
I refuse to acknowledge that that person exists in life.
All right,
nope.
Well, we're back in Alexandria, and that man with the red umbrella, he is just walking around. He's on drugs. He's like blatantly walking around doing nothing, staring in the sky with his umbrella. And I was like, who is this man? on top of some roof, Michonne and a severe bun trash woman are on the they're up there and they're positioning themselves for sniper duty. And Michonne is like, "Have you ever used one of these?" I'm like, "Have you
seriously, bunhead?"
Yeah. I'm talking about Michonne. Like, have you used it? Because I'm still not.
Don't you know that she's used it?
I mean, I just. Has it is successfully? Have you used it successfully?
That wasn't the question. That wasn't the question. Yeah. Has she used it? Like, twice, okay?
So Michonne's like, "I'm going to go to the next room." And this bun head is so suspiciously. She's like, "Why?" And she even steps out to block Michonne. And Michonne's like, "Well, we get better sight lines if we're split up." And the woman offers to go to the next room. But before she leaves, she turns around and she does the most like stereotypical evil villain smile to Michonne. And then she tells Michonne, "We win." And Michonne's like, "Yeah,
girl. Yeah, sure." Okay. I knew as soon as she said, I was like, nope. You need to be the one to go. You need to go. Abort this mission. It's not going to work. It's bad.
I mean, it was the fact that she looked so...
Yes, sinister.
Yeah. Mm-mm. You're like, girl...
We win. Like, oh my God.
Like, you don't see her looking at you like that?
We're all over here going, don't do it.
Don't open the door. Don't go in there. Get out. So yeah, I was like, well, oh gosh. So the next scene, we're back with Sasha and Donnie having a moment and her recalling Abraham's words, and this time she's struggling a little bit more to get them out. And the words are, "You know what's gonna happen and how this is gonna end." And then we go back to her and him, and he says those words to her, and he tells her that they're going to leave together to kick shit and eat snakes, because that's what they do.
Here you go.
What? Is that a thing? Is that an Abraham thing? Or is that a...
I don't know. I'm going with Abraham, because I've never heard that before.
But Sasha really, really wants to stay. So Abraham... asks how he died in her dream, and turns out she was dreaming of them being together before the turn, and they were at the beach, and while they were there he drowned and she started to drown searching for him. Is there any symbolism in that? Do you feel like she started to drown?
That's what I was going to say. I feel like that's been her hypothetical drowning ever since he died, trying to fulfill his legacy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man. All right. And see, that's one of the things I was like, so is this a flashback or?
It's so hard to tell.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you wonder, is it like a death dream, but like loosely based on?
Right. Like, is she filling in like pieces of conversations they had before with some of this stuff that she's like going through and maybe regretting or trying to wish she could correct as she's dying? Like, is that what's happening?
Right.
Yeah. So she tells him that, and he's like, "Well, this is how I know it's a dream, because I hate the beach." And he's like, "Your nut sack feels like it's getting sandblasted while you're walking the car."
Oh, I didn't need that. No.
There he is. There's Abraham. Abraham, in these scenes with her, far more tender than I remember him being on the show.
Yes.
Is it because we never really saw them?
We did not. And that's been something that we've struggled with, like seeing the whole Sasha Ham thing.
Yeah. So is this how he is with her, or is this how she remembers him? Or like, I was just interested. I mean, because he was softer with her back in season 6, definitely. But this man is just like, so like, so like caring, like I said, tender, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And definitely didn't see that. Didn't get that.
No, so. Definitely not. Yeah, I wondered the same thing too. Like, again, if this is just like how she wants to remember him, mm-hmm. or what, but.
Yeah. I can buy that he's, because Rick's different with Michonne.
Agreed. Agreed.
It's just we saw it. We see it more.
Right. But that was the thing, just wondering, because we never really got the opportunity to see it during the seasons, that, yeah, I would have liked to have seen more of that, maybe.
Yeah.
Too bad. Not going to happen anymore.
Yeah. So Sasha is really insistent that they stay, and he is really insistent that they go. And Sasha kind of spits out, like, Maggie's got to take care of Maggie. But she looks, like, immediately a little shocked at her words. Anything else you have for that one?
No, not really. I mean, that whole statement that Maggie's got to take care of Maggie. I mean, I think she was just reaching for anything at that point to try to get him to stay. But then she realizes, you know, okay, yeah, that was dumb. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Like, obviously she cares about Maggie and her well-being. And she's had a moment of selfishness. And I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I understand her reasoning for wanting to be selfish in that moment. And, you know, she's not been selfish. So, you know what? Give yourself a break, girl.
Okay. So at the sanctuary, Sasha and Eugene are walking through the hallway. And she lies and tells him that she changed her mind about taking those suicide pills. And he's like, good. You'll get used to this place. And they're talking in code, like, you change your mind about that allergy medication. Oh, I think your sinuses will adjust to this place. Ugh. And Sasha throws in a dig. Just a little one. She's like, no, it won't. Not like you. But Eugene, he's not here for the traitor shaming. And he tells her that if people die today, that's their choice. That's because of choices they made. And she's like, yeah, you're right. And then we flash to Sasha and Maggie, and Sasha asks her why they're there. And Maggie's like, for this. For what?
Great question. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to try to interpret.
It is.
Like, people's dreams. People, the flashes people are having when they're dying.
Does she mean, like, I guess, like, basically she's the one that's starting the war, essentially. I mean, she's the catalyst. She's the one that's making everything happen. Is that what she means? You know, like, is.
Yeah, that's a good guess. Yeah.
That's what I would guess.
Okay. Back in Alexandria, one of the trash guys is using a turkey call. Suspiciously. And then there's another call back. I'm like, why isn't anybody asking what they're doing? And everyone is along the walls, up on the top of the walls, down at the bottom, and they're in position to shoot. Rick is at the top. He tells Rosita to get into position and he'll signal her, and her position is just right there, I guess, because she doesn't move at all. Eugene rolls up on them, speaking through a megaphone with his bullshit. Like, I come armed with two barrels of the truth. A test is upon you, and I'm giving out the cheat sheet. Both Rick and Rosita are looking like, what the fuck? And
Rosita's face says figures to me. Like,
yeah,
I think she, I mean, like, yeah. She's like, yep, figures. Uh-huh. Knew when I saw you back at the sanctuary.
Yeah.
You're complete bullshit.
Okay. I can buy that. But I still think there was a little bit of shock. Like, I didn't know you would go this far. You were on this microphone. You're on this megaphone. like, rolling up on us, telling us this. Like, what? Because he's, like, never been so bold in this before. But now he's like, y'all better give it up. And they're like, okay. And so Eugene tells Rick that the jig is up and in full effect. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. the jig is up and in full effect. If it's up, how is it in full effect? He wants to know if Rick surrenders. And Rick is just looking at him like, I can't believe this. And then he's just like, where's Negan? And Eugene looks up and he looks hurt for a minute. Like, to me, he looks hurt that Rick wouldn't listen to him or is just completely ignoring him and not taking into account the fact that Eugene is trying to quote unquote help. He's just like, I can't believe you just brushed aside. I was on this megaphone for you. And then finally Eugene's like, I'm Negan. And Rick is like, I can't believe this shit. And he actually has some like unshed tears in his eyes. Don't cry for Eugene.
No. And I mean, I like, to me, I would just be so, well, and I am, I'm so pissed. Like, all we got of Eugene was crying, sniveling, you know. Okay. Well, and now you all of a sudden you're a badass. Like, you think you think you're bad.
Right.
You think you're bad. Who raised you? Who raised you? You turn on your friends. I won't say your name. I just won't. I refuse. You do not exist. You are dead to me.
No, but I'm saying, like, even in the zombie apocalypse, when you say who raised you, it was Rosita and Eugene.
Exactly.
I mean, not Eugene. It was Rosita and Abraham.
Yes.
And Rick to a
extent. Yes.
Like, yeah, these are the people who raised you.
So you should be better than this.
Yeah.
You kiss your mama with that mouth.
Yeah, Rick just looks like, well, whatever. And he gives the signal to Rosita. Nothing explodes.
Well, they all duck. Yeah. It's like, what happened?
Right. I'm like, listen, like I said, I can't be convinced that Rosita didn't do that right. But however, it didn't happen. The trash people draw on all of the Alexandrians just as Rick. Do you think Rick was figuring it out as he was reaching for his gun? Well, I mean, that's what you get.
I do. I think he did. And that was why he was reaching for it.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, this is about to, oh, too late.
Yeah. I didn't know if he was reaching for it. Yeah, it could have been either way. I didn't know if he was reaching for it to draw on Negan or reaching for it because he figured out something was going down. Yeah. Just reaching for it for general principle because he needs that gun.
Yes, he does.
And so, yeah, the trash people draw on all the Alexandrians. And it's like, Rick, we told you about this shit when you met him. We didn't know why you trusted him so readily or why you didn't have a backup plan in case they turned on you.
Seriously.
Why you let them stand behind you. They are supposed to be the ones that get the shots first. If anybody dies first, it's them.
Yep.
So why are they behind you? Just so many things. It's like, this sucks, Rick, but this is all your fault.
Yep. You gotta own this one.
I know. So somebody opens the gate from the outside. I'm not really sure how that works. It seems to defeat the purpose. And Negan emerges from the truck, and he makes sure to keep Eugene in front of him for cover. And
smart move.
Yeah. And I'm like, right there, Eugene. Like, I don't really know why you think you're safer with him. And so Michonne is tracking Negan from her scope. But when she is moving it along, she sees Jadis holding Rick at gunpoint. And she realizes something's wrong. It's too late because her trash partner has drawn her gun on Michonne, telling her again, we win.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Piss me off.
Yeah. This whole thing, I'm like, this is Rick.
Rick, we got to start thinking a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more.
Just a backup plan, yep. Man. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Vatos.
Yes.
Remember when he had T-Dog on top?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Just yes.
Have a backup plan to have to draw on these people.
That's right.
So outside the gate, Negan's like, you ever hear the one about the stupid little prick named Rick who thought he knew shit but didn't know shit and got everyone he gave shit about killed? It's about you.
Oh, Negan.
Rick is incredulous that the trash people went back on their word.
It's like they arrived in dumpsters. actual trash trucks, garbage trucks. Really?
Yeah. We had a deal.
So?
Exactly. A deal which we have already said you never really drilled down the terms of.
They also wanted that ugly cat back, too. So,
yeah, you just got guns, need guns, nearly half, nearly double, need nearly double. this is the deal you had.
Right? Right?
So, no. And then Jadis explains, she's like, Tamiel came for the boat things, followed ones who took, made a better deal. So, what does that mean? Does that mean that when they took the things back from the trash people, back to Alexandria, Tamiel followed them back to Alexandria?
That's how I took it, yes.
And then when the saviors came, she followed them?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Which makes sense. I mean, I can't really...
Backup plan.
Because you're out here... Because we were like, why the fuck is Rick just out here recruiting these trash people? Don't know nothing about them. Don't know if they can fight.
Nope.
Don't know what their allegiance are. Nothing. And so it makes sense for them to be like, who the fuck are the saviors? Well, let me find out if they're so big and bad that they got you under control. Let me see what I can work out with them.
Exactly. And makes there you sense. Go. They made a backup plan. They had, so, I mean... Trash people they may be, but they they knew well enough to make a backup plan.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't be mad at it.
I know. It's like, I am mad, but it's like, yes. But it's like, just like you said, can't hate the player, hate the game, can't hate the hustle.
That's right. Like, Rick, you should have thought about this as being a possibility.
Yeah.
Just instead of blindly trusting that, oh, they're definitely gonna have our back.
Right.
Why should they?
Right.
They had nothing to do with the saviors. Why should they? For some guns? Honestly, I feel like they probably could have gotten themselves. So instead, you got them the guns, and now they're gonna use them on you.
Right.
Super fun time.
Again, this is why Rick can't be president of the newly formed alliance, because this is the bullshit he does. Yep. Like, no.
Yep.
So, Negan is like taunting Rick. He's like, I can't believe you would just kill Eugene to get to me. You're a monster.
Like, have you met him? why haven't you killed him yet? That's our question.
Yeah.
Come on.
So he asked Dwight and Boss Xavier to get working on their big presentation because he's not wearing this scarf for nothing.
That's right.
And their presentation is unveiling a casket and standing it upright next to him. And Negan reveals that Sasha is inside. And if Rick doesn't stand down, give him Daryl back, pick a person for Lucille, and give him the pool table and the chalk of the cues. He's going to kill Sasha and everyone else. Huh. And as soon as everyone who was ducking behind cover, all the Alexandrians anyway, the ones that were ducking behind cover, as soon as they hear Sasha's name, everyone, they hear her name and hear that she was captured, they start standing up. They're like, what's going on? Which is like cool because it's like, what, Sasha? Hold on.
Yes.
And so... Rick, like I said, he didn't give a shit about Eugene, but he hesitates at this. And he's like, I want to see her. And so Negan goes to open the casket, but then we see Sasha still inside, still listening to Donnie. And this time, when she recalls her conversation with Abraham, she's repeating her own words. And she's saying, it felt real. And... when she's with Abraham, she's saying, it felt like we lost this and this just started. And Abraham, he stands her up. Well, no, whatever. They kiss and they hug. And he's like, we need to leave. And she stops him again. But he guesses that she's going to offer to go instead of him because she feels so guilty about saying that Maggie needs to take care of herself. And she's like, yeah, I was. And then he tells her, you know, that they are the ones who lay their lives on the chopping block for others so that there's a point to all this. And I feel like it's like a depressing counterpoint to Michonne's "We're the ones who live." Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it is.
I'm just like, did you see them as, did you see Abraham and Sasha as the ones who do that for other people before he said that?
I definitely saw Abraham as that person.
Yeah.
but I mean, and I guess everything that's led up to this has shown me that Sasha has decided to be that person. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have thought that in the beginning, though.
Yeah.
But Abraham's definitely always been like the ride or die guy. Like,
yeah,
I will take a bullet for you.
Yeah. Yeah, he has. But I guess I never saw that as him thinking that's his purpose.
Right.
Was to do that for other people. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, because, you know, if you're in the military,
right,
that's a like a different level of mm-hmm. Like selflessness.
It is.
So
I feel like that's just kind of ingrained in him.
Yeah. So, and I think in Sasha's backstory, she was also she was a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we didn't really get to know that about her. I read that. I didn't,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I think if we had known a little bit more about that, we might have been having a slightly different conversation.
Yeah.
Again, like, I don't know that I necessarily saw that in the beginning, that was her purpose, but it definitely became clear that she realized it was her purpose, and I feel like she made the decision that she wanted to make.
Yeah. Again, kind of mixed feelings on it. Like, I wish we would have been able to get that ourselves from watching the show.
I agree.
But, like, hearing it vocalized and stuff, it was very just like, wow. Like, I really, yeah, that's just to hear that they share that belief that they are the ones that need to sacrifice themselves. That's just that, like I said, it's like different level.
It's huge. It's profound. But yeah. I'm like you. I would have liked to have seen it more.
Yeah.
Instead of having it explicitly said.
Yeah.
I would like to see that more exemplified.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, she and Abraham get back on the same page. Like, yeah, this is what we do. And as they're getting ready to leave, Sasha smiles at him and they have the same exchange that they had from Knots Untie, where she says, "You're an idiot." And he's like, "I never said otherwise." I like that.
I know.
So they leave their home in her flashback, and Sasha and Eugene are leaving the sanctuary real time. And she's like, "So it'll be a couple hours when we get there, like before we get there." And he's like, "Yeah, at least." And he gives her a first gen iPod for the road and tells her that he wishes he could have measured up, but he couldn't.
Sure couldn't.
And she tells him that she's not going to give up on him. Misplaced faith? What? What do you think?
He certainly did not measure up to anything. I don't know. I don't know how she can not give up on him. Honestly, I'm like, girl, the writing is on the wall.
Yeah.
He's lost cause. Move on. But
I'm glad, you know, she was dead, so she didn't have to hear him blathering on.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just that Sasha has this innate ability to want to see the good in people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she just was hoping. And I can't hate that. I understand, because I'm a lot like that, actually. Mm-hmm. So despite the fact of that, you know, the evidence that you are presented, you still want to see the good. And
yeah,
you know what? I get it.
So Sasha and Negan are on the flatbed of the truck, and he's like, geez, you don't have to make the trip in the casket. And that's the first time we see it. Well, no. Didn't he just bring it out? Yes.
Yeah, he had brought it out.
Yep. Okay, mm-hmm. So did we really? Yeah, I feel like I was just putting it all together.
Exactly.
Yeah, all this time. Like, oh, okay, that's what she was in the whole time. Yeah.
That just, I can't handle that.
Yeah.
I don't know if she even had to do that for like the filming. Did she like get in there and like, whoo.
Yeah.
That makes me like get hot just thinking about it. I can't. Yeah. I'm claustrophobic.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but that whatever she was in a very tight space.
Yes.
But yeah, he's like, you don't have to get in there for the trip. And she just kind of shrugs it off. She's like, I can use the rest. I'm just going to take a nap. All I need is a bottle of water. And he approaches her like they're friends.
Uh-huh.
Like he comes up on her and like kind of lowers his voice. He's like, I know this is hard on you. I really appreciate what you're doing. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with him?
He's so messed up.
Yeah.
So messed up. But like, you would think though too that this would stand out to Negan as something. Well, I mean, you would think if he was a normal human, I guess that like this is odd because, I mean, I don't know what time of the year it is there, but it looked like it was pretty warm,
mm-hmm.
And you're about to like this. This woman wants to get into a casket that is completely shut.
Yeah,
with the heat of just the earth, you know, surrounding. And not being able to breathe very well, she probably wants to die. Just a thought, just putting that out there. Yeah. I don't know. I was like, okay, does that seem normal to you?
Like, because caskets aren't made for the living.
Exactly. Like,
so
that's what I was saying. I'm like, this should be red flag, red flag, red flag. Nope, doesn't even register.
No,
he's just worried about that pool table. Get me a pool table, damn it. And the chalk, too.
And the cues.
That's right.
So we see, like, he closes the lid on her. And inside, we see her search for the song that she's been listening to this entire episode. Put it on repeat as she looks at the pills in the bag. And she takes it. Man, this is so heavy, man. So back in the present, the casket that Negan opens contains Walker Sasha, to the surprise of everyone. Not in the least Negan. And Carl sees this, and like we said before, he's like, start shooting everyone, starts the war officially. Mm-hmm. I was so like, yes
me too.
Shoot. Like, yes, Carl.
Go, Carl, go.
Yeah.
Go, Carl. Yes.
Rosita, for all her bullshit, is like the first person to get shot.
Yes, she was.
And everyone is going all out. Except for Rick. For some reason, he's still being held at gunpoint. Like, who? Somebody shoot her.
Seriously. And he's like gotten out of so much worse.
Yeah.
With less. And I'm like, you expect me to believe that this string bean's got you.
Like, you also expect me to believe this woman is beating Michelle's ass, oh, too.
That, well, we haven't even got there, no. But I was like, the fuck? Y'all are playing us right now for real, because there's no way that would happen in real life. No way.
It's not gonna happen. So we're still with Rick and Jadis. Jadis tells Rick to get down, and Rick's like, "We can make another deal."
Stop making deals, Rick. Oh my god.
Yeah, and so her deal is she's gonna shoot him in the side, and then kick him off the guard structure. She's like, "I said down." I'm like, if this bitch doesn't stop injuring Rick and kicking him off of stuff,
I know.
I'm so mad.
Like, are you kidding me right now?
I do.
And again, string bean. And I'm like, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, like, you know, Rick's not like the freaking Hulk, but he's muscular guy. Like,
yeah.
You mean to tell me he can't get the one up on this girl?
I don't know.
But just like Dwight beat up on Daryl before. And I'm like, come on. Y'all gonna need to rework this casting shit if you expect me to believe that. That's not gonna fly.
So outside the gate, Sasha is doing her part by eating people's faces off.
She took him out by the eyeballs.
Like, yeah.
Yes, girl, get Mr. Veggie Head. Come on, get him.
But like we said, for some reason, Michonne's getting her ass kicked by this trash woman. Like, she's getting her head slammed to the floor repeatedly. Blood's gushing out of her mouth. Her eyes swollen shut. She's getting choked out. I was like, what the hell?
She couldn't get a swing in at all.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Michonne's fought with the governor.
Exactly.
Didn't she fight with Merle? Did she fight Merle?
I believe, yes.
Well, she didn't have her sword, but still she fought.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, the amount of walkers she's taken out on her own and, like the amount, like, that she had all at one time, like, not just individually, but all at one time. Like,
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Nope. Not buying what you're selling.
Yeah. And I just, like, she is, like, the fact all this blood is coming out of her mouth. I was like, you can't tell. You can't. I can't.
I'm trying to remember, like, again, I've been in a cough medicine fog, guys, so my notes are a little scary right now. But did she get her head, like, did the girl bash her head first? Was that the first thing she did?
No. First thing she did was, like, knock each other's guns out of their hands.
Okay.
And then I think there were, like, a few, like, hand-to-hand things, like punches, and then somehow Michonne got kneed.
Okay.
In the gut, and I think that sent her down.
Okay.
And then it cut away to some other stuff, and then came back, and we saw, like, the trash woman, like, slamming her head into the...
So I did miss it. All right, so I was making sure, I was like, did I miss it? But I could understand a little bit more if maybe, like, she, like, cold cocked her in the head first.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, that is definitely something that might make it so that you're not able to move with the swiftness that you're used to doing. But no, doesn't check out for me.
Yeah. I was offended. I was like, I don't know what this is, but this isn't Michonne.
No.
And so while this is happening, Rick is getting led through Alexandria, seeing some random dead people.
who were clearly just placed here just for this purpose.
Yeah.
We brought you here just so you can die.
Welcome. So he's being led to a patch by the wall where Carl is already kneeling, and Negan comes out and kind of chides him for not sticking with them and going to the filthy garbage people. Well, that's what you get, Rick. Yep. And so Jadis confirms their deal for 12. And Negan's like, no, 10, because people are a resource.
So I guess he was going to, like, sell them into slavery, like, as slaves, like, to them? Is that what he was doing?
Like, Alexandrians?
Yeah. That's how I took it. I mean. Okay.
That's why she probably set that up with Rick first. Like, just so you know, me and you is going to happen.
Like, was this, like, selling people as slaves, or was it, like, sex trafficking? What are you guys doing?
I mean, who knows?
Especially with the way they are. I mean, like, they've got some dark shit going on. Like, I'm like, y'all, you're pushing it.
Right. So, yes, people, Alexandrians, to do God knows what.
Ooh.
But, yeah, Negan takes it down to 10, and then she's like, 12. And then Negan looks at her, like, warningly, like, bitch, what the fuck did I just say? And she totally backs away, like, 10. She's not good at negotiating.
No, she's not.
I mean, that little thing with Rick... First, it was 10 guns, and he took it up to 20. And then she legit made a deal for 12 people, and he just looked at her like, I said 10.
Well.
It was funny, though. The way she was just, she didn't even try.
No, she looks like, oh, yeah, okay.
So he turns his attention back to Rick and is like, yo, I don't know who you think I am, but I totally meant it when I killed your friends. I'm not the guy who just makes your kids spaghetti.
That was a funny line.
Yeah. And Carl tells him that he's not going to win. And Negan's like, even a kid with one eye can see that this is over. And so back on the roof, Trash Woman has Michonne bent over the ledge. And Michonne is just like choking out, "We win. We live. We're the ones.
Oh.
Us." And I was like, what?
What in the world?
Like, your face right now. you're grimacing, which is how I was like, this is terrible. who told her to say this?
Like, no.
I don't like it. Like, I guess I get it. Like, she was saying that to herself.
Right.
To make sure that she got out of this. But just the way it was happening, I was cringing. Like, stop it. Just kill her.
Just use that force that you got instead of wasting the breath and just boom, just knock your ass out, girl. We will know what you mean. Yes, that's right. We live. Yeah. We got it.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. Especially coming with what comes up next with her and Rick and Carl. Like, I feel like it was, I didn't like it because she already said it.
It was too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. But yeah, we live, we win. I'm like, oh my God, stop it. and so back to where Rick and Carl are, they see a woman falling and hear her screaming from Michonne's post, and they both look shocked. Carl more than Rick.
And I was like, why are we, hold on. That doesn't even sound like her. Like, that doesn't, to me, I was like, that doesn't even sound like her. I'm sorry. Yeah. I wouldn't have even, it, regardless of what I had seen or not seen, I would have not, my mind would never have gone there.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't sound like her. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it did sound like a weird scream, but we never heard her scream. So who knows?
I guess. I don't know. It did sound like, it just didn't sound like her voice.
Yeah.
To me.
I was about to say something. I was supposed to say something lewd and tawdry.
Ooh, go ahead. You can always cut it out if you don't want. If you don't want to keep it, go ahead.
No, it's the wine. I was going to say Rick's probably heard a scream. Like,
so. Maybe that's why he wasn't worried. Like, we good. Trust me, son. We haven't gotten to talk about these stuff and things, but sometimes.
Oh
my God.
Dear. Oh. Excuse me. So, yeah. We're led to believe that they probably think it's Michonne. And if so, I feel like I need Rick to react more. And so Negan is like, oh, whoever that was, they were important to you. What timing? And Rick is looking at Negan with tears in his eyes, but also the crazy.
Oh, yeah. Murderer Rick is back to play.
Yes. And then Negan tells Rick that he's going to kill Carl and then use Lucille to take his hands. And Rick's like, whatever you do, it's not going to stop me from killing all of you. I already told you that was going to happen. And then he leans in and whispers, you're all already dead. And then he pulls back and looks Negan dead in the eye. Like, I was like, yes.
I know. But he did have to pull out the whole thing again. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But one day, I will find you and I will kill you.
All right, Liam. So, yeah, I loved it because Rick was like, I don't give a shit what you do. Like, clearly, I don't want you to kill my son, but whatever you do, I'm still going to kill you.
Yeah, doesn't change the outcome for you.
Yeah.
So do what you need to do.
Yeah. I just like the way he, like, the fact that he leaned in and whispered, like, and then just looked at him, like, yeah, I said it. I was like, woo.
That's right.
Woo, my God.
We've been waiting for Murderer Rick to come back.
Yeah. That gave me, like, a chill.
Yes.
Negan doesn't like this at all.
Of course not.
Like, no snot bubbles, nothing.
Nope.
And so he's pissed looking at him. He's like enraged, but then he keeps it in check and he starts chuckling like, okay. And he gets up, gets right to taking Carl's hat off. No prelude, no, you know, chit chat, nothing. Takes it off immediately. Just as he's about to swing, he's like, you told me I could do it. And then fucking Shiva comes.
Yes.
She comes through and mauls some random dude.
Oh my God. The faces is what was like, got me. It's like, it's a fucking tiger. Oh my God. That was amazing.
I was watching this like, how are they going to go? Oh shit.
Oh my God. Wouldn't it have been great though if Shiva had just got Negan, like just like ripped him in half right there?
That and that was been it. Great. Like,
well, I told you. I told you you were already dead.
Oh man. So yeah, Shiva's appearance sends everything into a tailspin. The kingdom comes in to wreck shop on horses, got their guns firing. Zeke is like, Alexandria will not fall, not on this day. I'm like, yeah,
that's right, Ken. Sing it.
Then the Hilltop people come in, led by Maggie, for the backup. And I'm like, Negan, this is just a day of surprises for you.
That's right.
It's like, we got Walker Sasha, we got a tiger.
That's right. We got a tiger.
We got Maggie alive and well and shooting at your ass.
That's right. Back from the dead. Yeah. I love it.
I loved it too. Shiva comes through, attacks another savior. And I'm like, how does this cat even know who's the bad people?
Can't
she smell the evil?
That's right.
I guess. I was like, I guess I'll take it because they are just, I mean, I was wondering that. Like, how does Shiva know who to attack? The kingdom people, how do they know who to attack? They've never met Alexandrians before.
That's very true.
So they don't know that the trash people are like very sleek, like to dress in black only.
That's true.
They also think they are allies at this point.
That's also true.
So really they're only shooting at the saviors.
But hey, that's fine. We'll take it.
But I don't know how they know who their saviors, but whatever. So Rick and Morgan start fighting side by side. Warms my heart.
I'm
like, finally, Morgan, you just ditched your ain't shitness. Like, I was saying this on Twitter last week, I think. But I was like, Morgan has been, in my eyes, Morgan has been a trash friend to Rick ever since he came to Alexandria.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, I mean, do something, Morgan.
Yes.
Definitely. So I really liked seeing them side to side. Finally, yes. So I was just really hyped by all this. But then we come to the trash people who are cartoonish in their escape. They have smoke bombs.
Yeah.
So they can disappear into the mist. Because this is too much bother for them, I guess.
Yep. It's way too much.
You guys planned your retreat. This is
Janice is like, well, I ain't getting none, so I better flee the scene.
So Ezekiel leads a group of people to the gates to kill Negan as he's leaving, but none of them can aim inside the window that he's rolled down to flip them the bird. Nor can they aim at the tires to blow it out. So he gets away. And as the resistance runs through the residual smoke, they get ambushed by more trash people on top of the wall. They've locked the gate from the outside so no one can go after them. Again, I don't know how this works.
This is faulty. This is real faulty logic.
Reg,
here.
Reg, what's up with your gate, man?
Like, it's supposed to lock from the inside, not the outside.
Yeah. So Daryl like climbs on the wall to try and go after him, but everybody's gone.
Man.
That was awesome.
It was such a... It was so intense.
It was. Oh, it was. Especially, so like, Maggie. Maggie coming in looking like a fucking boss in her jacket. And her little belt with the ammo on it.
Yes. And I was like, ooh, Maggie, out on the front lines, that baby. Oh, ooh. I was getting a little... I was nervous.
I don't know. I don't know about that baby. Like, she got a torn uterus. She over here running.
And I'm like, oh, we need you on bed rest. Like, I mean, I'm all for, you know, a leader being in the trenches and everything. I'm all for that. But I'm like, you are growing a human.
Yeah.
I need you to rest. Please. You are carrying the future.
Just like Abraham said.
That's right. Judith needs her friend. Like, Judith needs a friend.
Judith needs an employee because...
Exactly. She's like, they're going to work together. So until Michonne and Rick have their baby, obviously, we need this baby.
Yeah.
We need baby Ree. So, and we need baby Ree because of all the reasons. Exactly. We need baby Ree. So, Maggie,
yeah.
just take a seat.
Rick and Carl have broken off from the group to figure out what happened to Michonne. They come to the building. They see that there's a woman on the ground. It isn't her. And they smile at each other as they head inside. And then we see Michonne, who is leaned up against the wall. Not dead, but looking really terrible and bloodied.
Way more bloody than I think she should look. Like, I'm like,
mm-mm. Like, she's on the verge of, like, losing consciousness. Yes. Like, what happened?
Not this woman. No.
Not the trash woman.
No.
So Rick gets to her first, and he says her name kind of hesitantly, but then he says it louder, and she responds to him, and he's like, oh, you're alive. And Carl comes in, and Michonne reaches for Carl while Rick kind of takes a second to get himself together, and she's struggling to talk. She's trying to say, we're the ones who live, of course, because that's the only thing she can say, apparently. And she can only get out the weir. I also thought she, like, lost a tooth here. Like, the way her mouth was and the fact that she kept getting, like, hit in the face, like, slammed her head.
Uh-huh.
And the blood was coming out of her mouth. Just something, I was just like, is her tooth gone? It wasn't. But okay. At first, I was just like... You can't come back from that.
Nope, you can't. There's no dentist.
Zombie apocalypse, you're just missing a tooth and I can't do that. Nope. But no, she didn't. And as she's trying to speak, Rick stops her. He's like, I know. We are. We will.
Oh,
I did like that.
I will. And I love, like, Carl. I mean, like, he was over there, like, tears.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He was. Melted my heart. The Grimes family 2.0.
And then, like, Rick buries his head in her shoulder and somebody's crying. I'm probably both of them. Probably Carl too. Carl
was definitely crying.
Also, Rick is still shot in the side.
Yep.
And you would never know it.
He's like, it's 'tis but a flesh wound.
I gotta get to my woman. And I kind of wanted. After, I mean, there has been so little interaction with Michonne and Carl this season. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted him to get the hug.
I agree. I would have liked to have seen that too.
Yeah.
Just in general, though, like, just seeing them as a family unit is just.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. It really was. But I was just like, oh, Carl. Oh, he's over here crying. No, hug him.
Yeah, that's right. Let him hug her.
Yeah. So. Back at the sanctuary, everyone's preparing for this new development, this whole war thing. But Negan stops to ask Eugene how he thinks Sasha wound up dead. And Eugene, quote unquote, guesses that she ran out of air. And Negan stares at him for far too long before he says, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And do you think that Negan believes him?
No.
Hmm.
Based on that look.
Yeah.
Like no, I don't think so. But I'm
nor
like,
should he.
Well, no, he shouldn't. But I mean, that's his fault for not vetting out who he's letting in his inner ranks and his inner circle. Nope. I'll have no sympathy for you, Negan.
Exactly. Or Eugene.
Like I don't even know who that is, so I have nothing for that person. I don't know.
So who's this behind me? This dibs is dibs.
We're broken up. We're broken up. Blocked him on Facebook.
So he goes out to address the members of the sanctuary, and he's like, "So, we are going to war." And the people below yell, "Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir."
Well, is this something we do? I mean, I've never seen them do that before. Like, okay. So now this is how we roll. Okay.
Yeah.
Sir, yes, sir. Sure. Whatever.
Okay. Well, are you hyped up for see the sanctuary prepare for war?
Nope. I'm just excited to get to war. Like, full-on war. Let's take out Negan.
I liked that there was a sign in the sanctuary that said, like, 101 days without a recordable accident. I wonder if they're going to change it.
Oh, that's so funny. See, again, I've got to go back and watch this after I get off of all these medicines, like, for this crap, so that I can pick up on all these little things, because I didn't see that.
Man, you need to look at that umbrella, dude. That's
I know. I need to, all the stuff that I missed. Well, and there were some things I noticed in my notes that I miswrote names. I was like, who is that? Oh my God. This is why that medicine is dangerous. Holy crap. It comes with a warning label for a reason. Wow.
So we are at the end of the episode, and there is a montage of a lot.
A whole lot.
Carl and Enid and Scott and Eduardo, Father Gabriel, and the Kingdom Knight, Diane, they're sweeping the grounds, probably looking for people. Mm-hmm. Jesus and Maggie are in the woods, and they find Sasha.
Oh, sad.
Yeah, very sad. Jesus takes her down. Maggie looks heartbroken as she has to end it. Takes out her knife and ends it. Then we see Father Gabriel and a bunch of the people from the town having funeral service. Mm-hmm. Carol is sitting with Morgan. As Morgan looks a little lost, a little alone, she goes to sit with him. Daryl finds one of Dwight's hand-carved pieces. It's of a soldier. Mm-hmm. And on the back it said, "Didn't know," written on it. Do you know what that's about?
No.
Okay.
Did you have any guesses?
No.
Could it have been? Well, no. Well, it could have been about Sasha. Could it? But how would he have had enough time to write that out? Like, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, and he like hit it. It's didn't like tossed know. In the.
What didn't you know, Dwight? Like,
yeah.
If anybody's got any thoughts on that, like that would have been my initial thought with Sasha. Like, that she was already dead. Mm-hmm. Like, didn't know. It wasn't us. It wasn't me. that could be it. But, man, that's some quick work. If you... He's out there all bad. Don't... Simon, cover me. Let me stand behind your tall stature.
I need your pen real quick. All right. So, yeah. Tara is sitting with Rosita in the infirmary, which I thought was a nice callback because Rosita sat with Tara in season 5 when she got knocked out mm-hmm. on that little mission that Aiden and Nicholas went on. Mm-hmm. I liked that. So she's sitting with Rosita, and Rick is sitting with Michonne as they're recuperating. And I'm like, oh, he didn't take the beds here? I mean, maybe he's not a monster. He kept the beds in the infirmary. Also, I was like, oh, Rick. Rick sitting by her holding her hand.
I know.
I was like, that's so freaking sweet. Where's Carl? Where's Carl?
Where is Carl? Carl!
Now that I've seen him again with her, I was like, no, where are they? I need to see them again.
They're He's probably in the house now. Now he actually is in the house.
But also, I was like, Rick, weren't you shot? Like, you don't need to rest up.
Flesh wound. I told you can't. Flesh wound. He just like plucked that thing out with his teeth. Like, see? I'm a manly man. I don't need none of that.
And when he still has that rap on his hand from fighting Winslow, like,
yep,
8 years ago. Oh, all right. So, and then another part of the montage, Ezekiel, Rick, and Maggie, with Shiva off to the side, are standing on a platform addressing their people collectively. And then we go to that scene with Sasha and Maggie. That's a callback to season 5. And it ends on focusing. The whole episode ends on Maggie. And it drops down to her hand. And it focuses on Glenn's watch in her hand. Mm-hmm. And the whole time, this montage is accompanied by a voiceover by Maggie talking to Rick about where they are right now. Mm-hmm. And here it is. She says, the decision was made a long time ago, before any of us knew each other, when we were all strangers who would have just passed each other on the street before the world ended. Now we mean everything to each other. You were in trouble. You were trapped. Glenn didn't know you, but he helped you. He put himself in danger for you. And that started it all. From Atlanta to my daddy's farm, to the prison, to here, to this moment now, not as strangers, as family, because Glenn chose to be there for you that day a long time ago. That was the decision that changed everything. It started with both of you, and it just grew to all of us to sacrifice for each other, to suffer and stand, to grieve, to give, to love, to live, to fight for each other. Glenn made the decision, Rick. I was just following his lead. That Maggie's a poet.
God. it's just like, I mean, it's so true, though.
Yeah.
Everything she's saying, it's completely true.
Yeah. And like I said a couple episodes ago, I just really like them bringing it back to Glenn and Abraham. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I liked Abraham, but more so Glenn. Like,
of course.
Glenn was just it. And just for everyone to just be like, yeah, this is for him.
Yes.
Then just to think, like, for all of them, this is where it started.
Yes.
That's crazy.
It is. And when you think about, I mean, just think about, like, you know, season one and how that, how far we've come and the people we've met, the people we've lost. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Oh, that monologue was, oof.
Yeah.
I was sitting on the couch just like, doesn't help that I was medicated. Yeah.
So that's the finale.
Man, it is so good.
It was.
So much better than last season.
Well, it pretty much have to be. They wanted to keep viewers. From what I understand, that's the purpose of a TV show.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is accurate. I really liked that in the montage they showed having Sasha's funeral. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we haven't really gotten to see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think back, like, I feel like the last, like, real funeral with everybody gathered that we got to see was back. Could it have been as far back as, like, Tyrese?
Where everybody gathered?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they had funerals in season 6. Like, they buried people.
Right. But I just don't remember it being like that.
Right.
And I think, you know, they didn't get the opportunity to do that with Glenn and Abraham,
right,
with the way everything happened. But I love that they were able to do that for her. And especially since she went out the way she went out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Maggie even acknowledges, you know, she definitely did it
right
herself. She's like, no, I feel confident that she did it herself.
Right.
And used herself as a weapon. So. Yeah, I really loved that nod to her and felt it was a nice farewell.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was her and it was just like the other people too, mm-hmm, that died. So it was, yeah, it was nice trying to, just like you said before, trying to get back to those rituals and traditions and, mm-hmm, understanding what needs to be done, but still honor, not treating it so like, well, this is what happens. Just really,
right,
you know. Then, like, well, yeah, this is what happens, but these are still people
that's
that
exactly
we want
right
to honor.
Absolutely. All right.
Do you think Sasha should have been buried at Hilltop with Abraham?
That's tough. I mean, part of me says yes, and then part of me is like, well, I feel like Alexandria was where she had kind of initially called home with her and Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tough. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. What do you think?
I mean, I thought it was weird that Abraham was buried at Alexandria.
I agree with that too. I guess, I mean, that was just out of
logistics.
Yeah.
Same here, I guess.
Yeah. but you know, I could see merits to both ways. But hopefully Sasha and Abraham are being Sasha-ham up in heaven.
Yep.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We got lots of feedback when we get back. And we are back with our death toll. I've got to call one. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have got caught in the crossfire.
My thing was the claustrophobia. Not that I necessarily would have been in the casket with Sasha, but if I found out about it, I've died. Because I just, I can't handle that. The thought of being there in there alive just freaks me out. Like, that's one of my biggest fears.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just putting that out there for everybody. Like, that is one of my biggest fears, being buried alive. That is terrifying. So I've been done. Like, nope. I'm just going to check out right now. I'm done. Like, I'm not even going to step foot in there. I'm not even going to do it. Nope. Bye. Nope.
Well, okay. I was going to say, he told you didn't have to make the trip in there.
But you had to get there eventually. Like, yeah. At all. I'm one of those, like, if I have to get, like, an MRI or something, I have to be, like, severely drugged out, because I will panic. The whole room just starts caving in on me, and I can't breathe, and I'm sweating profusely, and it's a bad thing.
All right.
All right. Superlatives. Best all around. Who do you have?
I had Maggie for that. Just stepping up and making that decision, that saved everyone.
Yes.
Because if she just listened to Rick, which we all know is a dicey thing.
It is a dicey thing, indeed.
That is happening with him. But, she was just calm under pressure. She came in, saved everybody, and still, you got a better sense to me of why she's been acting the way she has. For the few times we've seen her this season, she's like, I'm just doing what Glenn would have wanted me to do.
Yes.
So, I mean, I liked that. Again, wish we could have seen it more instead of just having it over. It's an admittedly beautiful voiceover.
But, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I know we had talked about in a previous episode about, did we think that Maggie would have gotten to this point without Glenn dying?
Mm-hmm.
Do you still feel like she would have, based on what we've seen now?
Let's see. Based on, again, that's kind of a strange thing for me to answer, because I kind of think that they would have been doing it together, like Rick and Michonne, right, and stuff. So do I think she would have carried on Glenn's legacy without Glenn dying? No.
Right.
Because there would have been no need to, but I think they could have grown that together.
As far as like the leadership and everything. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I wondered too. I had been thinking about that ever since that came up in the podcast.
Uh-huh.
I've been kind of thinking about it retrospectively, like, oh, you know, huh. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe it would have been, if Glenn had been alive, maybe it would have been that he was more like the Rick, and then, like you said, Maggie was the Michonne.
Mm-hmm.
I could have seen that happening.
Yeah.
For best all around, I had Sasha.
Okay.
Well, I mean, she just gave the ultimate sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that she decided, okay, I'm going to use myself as a weapon. I'm going to go out fighting. I'm going to go out for this cause, for these people. and just with the hope that they're ready. I mean, and that part leaves is open to interpretation, I guess, if they were ready. Least likely to succeed.
I had Eugene, because even though he doesn't exist in your mind, I'm still told he's a character. And just his utter cluelessness, and again, the fact that he's not playing this smart on either side. Like, I get wanting to survive. I get that. Again, who knows if I wouldn't, who knows, I might do the same thing if I'm just trying to live, as far as aligning myself with Negan to make sure I can live. But at what point do you get that you are not safe?
Right.
You're safe. You were safe from being killed at that moment, but you're not safe in general.
Right.
And so the fact that he just thinks he's just outsmarting everybody, outmaneuvering everybody. Oh, let me talk to Rick. I'll bring him down. Rick's like, fuck you. And then he's like, I'm going to do something with Sasha, help her kill herself. And Negan's looking at it like, well, who, how did she die? Right. And so, yeah, no, you're not playing either one of these well.
Exactly.
And I don't, I mean, if I was Rick and you try to come back to me talking about some, I was wrong, I'm like, but you weren't you the one to try to roll up on me telling me the jig was up and in full effect? Like, no. So, yeah, you got to stop this, man. You got to stop.
The thing that I don't, this is the thing I don't understand about him. And I've thought about it ever since, well, like, I guess like the last big, like, Eugene-centric episode. When he decided to go to the dark side. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, yeah, okay, I get the survival concept, but I mean, at what point does it matter? Because, so you're surviving, but you're completely alone. You have nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I would rather go out for a cause and, know that I had people that loved me and that I loved back.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like none of that matters to him.
Right.
No human connection matters to him. And that just bewilders me. Like, why would you give up all these friends that you have? And the friend that died for you, ultimately, I mean, I've got a lot of hate in my heart for this man. Like, the more that I've thought about it, the more upset I've gotten. I don't understand what value does survival have if you have no connection, if you have nobody to love.
Right.
So, he's dead to me. I had Negan as least likely to succeed because Murderer Rick is back to play and it is time for a reckoning, sir. It's time.
Yeah.
MVP.
I had that split between Sasha and Carl. Sasha, for many of the reasons you named, like, she just like Rick said, she gave us a chance.
She did.
To do this. And God love her. Just watching her just come to terms with that over and just live. Live that last day with Abraham, or dream of that last day she would have had with Abraham, or whatever was happening.
Right.
And just do it. Just make that decision with such bravery. It was great. And then Carl, for the same reasons we talked about, like, Carl stepped it up. I've been a little frustrated with Carl for some of the impetuous stuff he's done before, but this was the exact right thing to do at the exact right time.
It was.
Kicked it off. I was like, yes, yes, sir. Yes, young man.
I think he's really growing.
Yeah.
As a leader, as a young man. And
yeah.
Wow. I love Carl.
Yeah.
So mine was a moment, and it was the Grimes family 2.0 moment. It just warmed my heart to see them.
So sweet.
Oh my God. I love them so much. And just, I don't really feel like we've had the opportunity to see them come together as a solid family unit in a while.
Yeah.
The only thing, of course, obviously missing was Judith. and the ultrasound for future baby Grimes. I'm just saying. But it was so beautiful, and seeing Carl's face and how clearly, I mean, he loves this woman like a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And Thank God. I mean, you finally got the mother you deserved, Carl. I'm just saying. Because now we don't have to, where's Carl? We don't have to worry because he's making better decisions-ish, sort of, kind of better. So I just chalk that up to the fact that he's got a good woman in his life guiding him. So I love that. All right. So we have a lot of feedback to get to today. I'm going to start this off with Jess. Jess says, there was so much going on in this episode that I feel like I need to go back and watch it again, but my first thoughts have everything to do with faces. The close-up shots of Sasha's face in the coffin just gutted me, particularly the cold open that we now know is the moment she passed. Sonequa's acting was outstanding. Hate to see her go. Rick's faces killed me. From Rick's scandalized what the fuck reaction to Jadis's proposition to trying to decide whether to take Eugene down with the Saviors to the second lineup. Andrew Lincoln always brings it. Mm-hmm. Accurate. Michonne's bloody battered face. Ugh. Our girl always has her shit together and comes out on top, so it's tough to see her like that. Always sad when the season comes to an end, but this one was a tough one. So I'm just glad we made it through. Looking forward, moving on to the next chapter with All Out War in season 8. Thank you for keeping me entertained and making me think throughout the season. I will miss getting to hear your lovely voices every week. Jess. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that my voice is not very lovely today. we're working on that. Oh my God. Okay. I just opened up this next one and I'm like, y'all, my voice ain't gonna last this long. Okay. Ramblings from a new listener. Hi guys. I only found your podcast last week, so I'm pretty annoyed that the season is now over. I plan to do a catch up on some previous episodes during the off season break.
So do we.
That's right. How wonderful to find a podcast that isn't run by Negan and comic obsessed fuckboys. All right. Yes, girl. I keep up with the comics, but I was a fan of the show first and much prefer the discussions that you guys have, as you seem to pay much more attention to the little things that other podcasts may not necessarily pick up on because they're just too busy jizzing themselves over how cool Negan is. Oh, my God. That's so funny. I was also, by the way, a TV show fan first before I got into the comics, so I completely agree with you. I absolutely loved how you talked about fan fiction last week. As a reader and writer of Walking Dead fic, it was so exciting to hear it spoken about. I read and write Rickle fic. That sounds so funny. Rickle fic.
Sounds like a candy.
It does, doesn't it? But I'm also a lover of Rishone fic. And absolutely love Rick and Michonne together in the show. I was rooting for them to get together since season 3's I See Things conversation. Thanks. Gotta be thanks. In Clear, Rick, Michonne, and Daryl are my favorite characters, and I'd love to find out more of both Michonne's and Daryl's backstories. This is my main problem with the show. So much remains unanswered. They have fantastic actors playing fantastic characters, but they are so bad at fleshing them out. I mean, do we know if Rick knows Michonne had a child? Will we ever address the fact that Daryl stole the book about child abuse survivors back in season 5? It's also frustrating. Daryl in particular has been done a disservice by the writers. People complain that he doesn't say anything, but if they remembered how to write him, how he was in seasons 1-4, then things could be so different. Norman Reedus acts beautifully when he's given emotional scenes, but I want to see him acting at something other than crying, damn it. Can you tell I have lots of strong feelings about Daryl? Mm-hmm. I'm not a mental fangirl, I promise. I just want the character to get the arcs he deserves. Going back to the fiction discussion, there are so many writers out there who can write Daryl a million times better than the proper show writers. So thank God for it. As far as I am concerned, each season could be 16 episodes of Rick, Michonne, and Daryl scavenging, fighting, and bickering together, and maybe some other stuff. And I would be happier than a pig and shit.
To get a menage together.
Hey. On to the actual episode. I loved it, and I was genuinely fearful for most of the characters throughout the episode. I thought Shiva rescuing Carl in time was extremely cheesy, but that's my only complaint. Mm-hmm. It was amazing to see Cudlitz again, and it felt like we had a proper chance to say goodbye to his character at last. And the ending monologue from Maggie was a great tribute to Glenn. I thought for sure that Daryl would get his vest back from Dwight at the very end, so I'm pissed that that didn't happen. However, Rick wearing the blue denim shirt again kind of made up for that a little. Rick's choice of shirts this season have been sublime. 10 out of 10, Mr. Grimes. Mm-hmm. I hope... Y'all are killing me. I hope the fact that Daryl didn't kill Dwight yet means that Daryl is becoming capable of learning self-restraint. Yeah, we hope. Let's don't bank on that, though.
Oh, my God. How much would I love that?
No, right?
I would love to love Daryl again.
Me too. I'm trying to get back there. They just keep fucking it up for me. I hate those junkyard dickheads. I rage laughed when Jadis even dared suggest that she could bang Rick. I'm sure Rick knows that Michonne would cut his dick off with the katana if he even dared. Rick really didn't look up for it anyway. He knows what side his bread is buttered on. I feel that overall, season 7 has been disappointing with some great moments, making me continue to watch and support the show. I just hope the producers, writers, and directors take a lot of the criticism on board so things can be improved going forward. Certainly, it's nothing to do with the actors, who are all amazing. Andrew Lincoln is just wow. Wow. The Walking Dead is so lucky to have him. I'll shut up now, and I'm sure I've written too much for you to read on this podcast, but I'll be sticking with the podcast throughout season 8 for sure. Bring it on, Claire B. in the UK.
What? Claire, first of all, the shirt thing about Rick, I was just thinking about that because I feel like ever since the New World, Next World, whatever, the Rashawn episode, with that denim shirt, I feel like they've been putting him in shades of blue a lot.
Yes.
And before, he used to wear that murder coat sometimes, and, you know, all kinds of different things, but I just feel like it's been blue on blue on blue this season.
Bringing out them baby blues, baby.
And I'm like, yes, so is this all he's going to wear is just shades of blue? So I'm glad somebody, because I was literally thinking about that today. I'm like, he just keep wearing blue shirts all the time.
I love it so much.
I like that you're a Daryl fan who is like, you know, Daryl's been written like crap. Because I think I kind of, season 4, that's when I kind of moved up. But, I mean, it was definitely better than what's happening now.
Agree.
I really did like him so much in the beginning. And now it's just like,
He was such a great character. And I feel like he's somebody that has a lot of, he had a lot of depth because he's one of those that he may put on this facade of, I'm just like the super macho squirrel killing bad man. But at the root of it, I mean, like, think back, like, he was the one that was really pushing to find Sophia. Like, he was never going to give up on that. And, you know, I think he has a big heart, and I just don't feel like they're showing that very well. So I'm with her. I want to be brought back to the Daryl side, so I'm trying. Maybe season 8's my time. Okay. So Melanie says, hey, ladies. I can't believe season 7 is over. It feels like it flew by. Here are some of my thoughts on the finale. As much as I hate to see Sasha go, I did like the way her death was handled. I can't recall any main character sacrificing themselves like that for team family. Abraham doesn't really count because he didn't have much choice in the matter. So it was nice that the writers mixed things up. Her death scene in the coffin was so sad, especially because of the Donny Hathaway song she was listening to and its fitting lyrics. The song struck me a second time, knowing that Donny, like Sasha, also died from suicide. The whole thing made me cry. I take solace in knowing Sonequa has a brand new gig coming up. It happens to be shooting in Toronto, and I've seen on Instagram that she and her husband hang out relatively close to where I live. So fingers crossed that I run into her someday soon and get a selfie with her. Aww, I hope you run into her too.
Yeah.
As much as I liked Abe, I never bought Sasha Ham. So those scenes fell kind of flat for me. I hate to sound like a 5-year-old, but I covered my eyes when they were kissing. It was nice to see Cudlitz on screen again, though. Jadis is officially the nastiest woman in the apocalypse. I can't get over her nerve asking Michonne if she could sleep with her man. so disrespectful and so presumptuous, like Michonne is the only hurdle. Rick doesn't want to sleep with her. It's laughable that she thinks that he's going to betray his wife for a woman who lives in a filthy garbage dump. She's insane. I rue the day that we met her. I hope Michonne kills her. And why is she always pushing or kicking Rick? She's a coward. In this episode, the least valuable player award goes to Tara. She really pissed me off when she kept goading Daryl to kill Dwight. They all could see that Daryl, for once, was exhibiting a modicum of restraint. And here she goes, acting like a little devil in Daryl's ear. Killing Dwight now would not be prudent. And if she wants him dead, she could kill him herself. When she said, Daryl, you knew her. Kill him. I wanted to jump through the TV and slap her. And those dirty looks she was giving him outside when she was sitting on the porch.
She's feeling
it. Ugh. She made me so angry. I am by no means a Dwight fan, but Tara was acting like a selfish child. The only useful thing she's done all season was lead us to the Oceanside and their guns. Other than that, she provides no value, and I wouldn't mind if she ends up being a casualty of war in season 8. OUG. Such a disappointment. Not that anything he did this episode was surprising. It was just hard to see. I think he's full-fledged Negan, so in my mind, there is no redeeming him. I agree. He doesn't exist. It was a little unsettling to see Rick let Negan attempt to take a swing at Carl. But we and Rick know there is no reason. There's no reasoning with Negan, so I get it. The Shiva was pretty convenient and admittedly a little corny, but it saved our boy, so I'm grateful for it. All in all, it was a great setup for season 8 and a satisfying ending for season 7. As much as I like Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I really want Negan to be dead by the mid-season finale. I probably won't get my wish, but here's hoping. Okay, ladies, that's all for me. Looking forward to your off-season podcast. Take care. Melanie.
I want Michonne to burn down the junkyard.
I'm hoping she does. Light a match and watch it burn. Teach what they need to learn. Ha!
Do you need me to take over?
I might have to let you to read a couple of these because okay. I think my voice needs a break.
Okay. I'll do. Just let me know when you want to
go ahead. Can you take Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So this next one's from Sarah. It's entitled Season Finale. Sarah, our friend from Twitter. Hey, ladies, bear with me. This is long. This season was all about the breaking down of our group and their slow road back. Yes, there were some bumps in the road, but for the most part, this season accomplished that. And now everyone is on the same page, ready to fight. The Saviors and Negan were never going to be taken out in one season. The trash people served no purpose, except to have that obvious betrayal. And we never were told what the hell they betrayed Rick for. 10 what? So stupid. Throwing Abraham back at us was a bit heavy-handed for the emotional impact, but it brought home the point that it's about putting yourself on the line for the ones you love. Sasha completed that journey for both of them. She went out fighting the only way she could, and I loved it. The Kingdom has been my favorite thing about this whole season. When Shiva jumped in and got that first maul, I jumped off the couch. I was so excited. Ezekiel's line, Alexandria will not fall, not on this day, was awesome. Negan was truly shocked and uncomfortable. Between Walker, Sasha, Shiva, and seeing Maggie alive, he was shook. But it was nice that he got all dressed up in his killing outfit for nothing. And again, he points out that he isn't the aggressor here. Rick and his people are. It's interesting to think from the other side of the aisle on that. And again, he was full of great one-liners. Where is Gregory? Dwight says he wants to help, but all he did was cut down some trees. This is going to be a long con, and I still don't care about his redemption. Daryl deserved to get a few punches in. I love that it was Carl that finally took the initiative to turn the tables on the trash people. And both him and Rick were still defiant to Negan when he was about to Lucille him. I was worried Rick might lose his resolve again. And again, at the end, invoking the memory of Glenn did its job on the emotional front. Glenn started it all by calling Rick a dumbass and saving him. Maggie has just been following his lead. All in all, I liked it as a finale, and it sets up the upcoming war for next season. Negan and Lucille are upset that they didn't get to kill anyone, and I think maybe Eugene or Gregory might see it sometime in season 8. I think that's it. Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, I hope they do get it.
I hope so,
all
too.
Of them. Oh, yeah. I like that. I like, yeah. Nice feedback.
Indeed. Next one. Yeah, I'll take one.
Okay.
All right. Pascally. She joined Twitter, by the way. Hi, Pascally. I saw like Pascally followed us. I was like, oh my God. Hey, girl. Okay. Pascally says, hey, ladies. Just wanted to send some feedback about this fantastic episode. I'm sure you will cover all the ups and downs. So here are my 2 cents. One, the Sasha send off. Sasha has come a long way. She was mad/sad. After Bob died, but she became reckless and suicidal after Tyrese died. Do you remember when she almost pulled her gun on Michonne? No bueno. Then at the start of being at Alexandria, she's still not fully accepting Sane. So to me, Sasha, after those 2 deaths, was always about self-preservation. She was a part-time fighter in Rick's army, and I felt like she would leave any time. Abraham's love, quote unquote. She says, LOL, I still don't know how deep that relationship was, is what made her finally see the group as family. I think going off with Abraham in the truck helped her see that there were still reasons to stay alive. The flashback with Abraham allows us to understand his reason to sacrifice and how it inspired her moment where she makes the decision to commit suicide to save her friends who have become her family ever since Tyrese died. I would have liked some flashes of Tyrese and Bob, who were important in shaping Sasha's character from the start, not just Maggie and Abraham. But when Sasha is saying her final words to Eugene, her smile and hopefulness seem to evoke the same smile Tyrese had as he died, the courage Abraham had, and even her own unique strength. She put second her personal vendetta to kill Negan and placed first the welfare of the group. Thank God Mr. OG Carl used those few seconds Sasha gave them to get a leg up on the saviors. Go zombie Sasha on top of Negan. Yes. Sonequa Martin Green is such an amazing actress. Her expressive face conveys so many emotions as she talks it. It's like she's showing us the inner workings of Sasha's thoughts. She gave Sasha full circle black woman, super badass status in all these episodes. I'm going to miss her. She's going to be doing great things after this show. 2, Eugene, F you. 3, Rick, time to retire, sir. Or at least do some vetting when you give a lot of guns to people who are shady as the trash group. What'd we say?
Yeah.
Number 4, Hilltop and Kingdom. Rick's original group members, Carol, Morgan, Maggie, have branched out and trained people in a matter of days to be pretty good soldiers. I think it shows Rick's group is full of capable leaders. It's only a matter of time for each to splinter off from Rick and create similar communities of their own to live independently. Wow, what an episode. That's all I got. I'll be seeing you in October, Pascally. That was awesome.
Yeah.
How did you feel about what she said about wishing that there had been some stuff with Tyrese and Bob? What do you think?
I think that's true.
I agree.
I thought about that as well, because especially Tyrese.
Yes.
That would have been great to see him come back. Have we had people come back like that?
I mean, not in a while.
Yeah,
I mean, it would have been like Beth back with Tyrese and what's their names?
Lizzie,
the little girls.
Mika?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was different. I feel like we haven't had people come back outside of the season that they died.
Correct.
But Lizzie and Mika did because they died
in
season
4. That's right.
Yeah. So.
Huh.
Yeah, I would have liked that.
I would have liked that too, yeah. Actually. She made a really good point with that. Mm-hmm. You want to take the next one?
Sure. It is titled, This Finale Though. Hey guys, I've always wanted to send feedback on an episode. So here it goes. I'm writing this at 12 a.m. after watching this episode again. So please forgive any unfinished thoughts or rambling. So sorry it's a long one. Oh, we're ready for it. Number one, this Donny Hathaway. I will never be able to hear this song without being tore all the way down. That first scene, the first time I watched it, I seriously couldn't figure out what was happening. But Lord, the second watch, just knowing I was watching my dear Sasha take her last breath while listening to Someday We'll All Be Free, it was seriously a beautiful series of scenes. The song choice, I wonder if Sonequa chose the song herself. Either way, it was perfect. I think Sasha chose that song to listen to because she sees not only her death as freedom, but her last act, killing herself, is giving everyone a chance at freedom as well. Sasha has lost so much in the time we've known her. I'm also so thankful that we got to see Abraham and Sasha together in Sasha's memories. I know you guys were feeling like there just wasn't enough of their relationship to establish how much they meant to each other. So I'm glad the powers that be threw those scenes in. Number two, Dwight. I still don't like him. I probably never will. I'm the kind of person who grew up holds a grudge forever. So
I think we're kind of with you on this one.
I know. He's on your shit list. Number three, punishment is how we built everything we have. When Negan said this to Sasha, my thoughts immediately returned to when Michonne said something similar to Rick. Everything we have, we got from fighting. These two statements are everything you need to know about these two groups, about these two men. Negan believes that punishing people, beating in heads with Lucille, burning faces off with the iron, taking other men's wives as his own, is the only way to get what he wants. Things. He goes around intimidating people, killing some of them off and taking their things. Rick, on the other hand, hasn't built his family with fighting. He's done his fair share of fighting, but he doesn't fight for things. He fights for people. That always has been his motive. Even in season 6, when Team Family chose to start this mess and kill the saviors at the outpost, his motivation was food for his people. So when Jada sees Alexandria for the first time and remarks that the place was what he was fighting for, and Rick replied, not the place, the people, each other. It's true. Number four, Carol leading the charge to war. I like how Carol spent 15 episodes of this season and who knows how many of the last whining and being conflicted about killing any more people. But she turned. Number five, Morgan and Ezekiel. I loved Ezekiel's little pep talk. I like how it ended up being a Dr. Martin Luther King march for freedom. Ezekiel even sounded like Dr. King by the end of the scene. Number six, great value Sia and her little proposition. I actually like this scene. I actually laughed at the fact that Janus didn't proposition Rick. She directed the statement to Michonne. Like Rick's opinion didn't matter. It was between the ladies. Also Rick's face. I bet you anything they had to do this scene a million times because Andy couldn't keep it together and they just ended up letting his face go out of frame for a few seconds to cover it up.
Oh my God. Great value, Sia. Girl, I'm but you know, I bet Pollyanna, mm-hmm. I bet when she was trying to do the scene, I bet she was laughing too. Like, this is so bizarre.
I like Chandler. Chandler tweeted this last night. He, during about this scene, he was like, you can see Andy about to break character right here. Number seven, the underscore for this episode was excellent. It had my heart racing and blood pressure rising the whole time. Mixed in with the Donny Hathaway, the pacing for this episode was on point. A roller coaster from beginning to end, and I almost didn't make it. Number eight, knowing the trash gang was going to renege on the deal and watching it happen was shocking. Number nine, Eugene, just die now.
Yes.
Number 10, Sasha Walker was the most beautiful walker I have ever seen. Also, once again, Sasha has the biggest balls out of everyone in this show for getting into that casket. I'm glad Maggie got to put Sasha Walker down. Like Carl said last season, it had to be someone that loved her.
I'm glad she brought that up because Sasha, like Walker Sasha, looks better than I could ever hope to look on any given day. She's amazing.
She had like meth teeth though.
So but don't, still, she's still gorgeous.
Don't do that. Don't compare yourself to a dead person.
She's so beautiful. Like, I just think it's telling like how beautiful she is.
Yeah.
That even with that, she's still freaking fierce.
Yeah.
It's just telling.
Number 11. I saw a lot of people talking about Dwight and how he lied to Rick and Team Family, but I don't think we've actually gotten to the part where Dwight was actually supposed to do anything. He went back to be a spy, right? Yeah, that's how I understand it. Mm-hmm. Blowing his cover before the war really started would defeat the purpose. Number 12. I feel like Rick came full circle. This whole episode, in a way, was calling back to 6/16 and 7/1. The roadblocks, the fight, Rick feeling like he was helpless as people that he loved died around him and he couldn't do anything about it. But when he saw what he thought was Michonne falling from that roof, baby, I was elated. Instead of breaking him down, it built him up. Rick was like, hands? I don't need hands. Take them. Do whatever you're going to do. I'm still going to kill you. Also, I want to clarify, Rick definitely didn't tell Negan that he could kill Carl. He said Negan could take his hands.
And hey, we know that he can operate without hands. Like, he took a bite out of crime once. I mean, yeah. It checks out.
Yeah. 13, Father Gabriel and that machine gun. I have never been so proud. Number 14, I really love Maggie's monologue at the end of the episode. It's so true. Glenn is the reason Team Family exists. His one selfless act of kindness, putting himself at risk to save a complete stranger, led to the chain of events that brought them together, and his memory is what's guiding them, especially Maggie, forward. It was a proper acknowledgement to Glenn's character. I think that's what upset so many people about Glenn's death. He was arguably the character that represented goodness in all facets, and for him to be killed so brutally and so abruptly was jarring and traumatizing for not only the characters, but also to us, the viewers. I think they handled sending him off in this final episode beautifully. Yep, I think that's very true.
That's definitely.
My only questions were, how did the Hilltop people and the Kingdom Knights know who were Savior and who were Alexandrians? Yeah, that's... Were they just shooting anyone who looked grungy or suspicious?
I guess.
Also, apparently, Rick's gunshot wound was just a flesh wound.
I love that.
Because he seemed to run around right after the fight.
But you know what, though? If they were just going around shooting people who looked grungy, how'd Daryl not die? I'm just saying.
You're not wrong. Let's see. Overall, I thought this was an awesome episode. I can't wait for October. Thanks for the awesome podcast, ladies. Keep up the good work. This is Kashanti.
All right. We just got a couple more. I'm going to let you read Michelle's because I don't think I can make it through it. So I'm going to read Morgan's. Okay. Just voice wise. Not anything you said. It's just my voice. It's not going to hold up. All right. Morgan says, hi, forgive me because I'm about to ramble due to the awesomeness of this finale. This episode was amazing. From Michonne, hard eyes, to Shiva jumping into Maggie's speech and holding Glenn's watch, everything was great. The only issue I had mixed feelings on was Sasha. I don't agree with the way she went out. I kind of see what the writers were trying to do by having a Walker Sasha possibly defeat Negan, but I didn't like that she killed herself. I wanted her to die fighting. I did, however, like the flashback scenes with Abraham, and I bawled when I heard the Donnie Hathaway song. I'm glad that Maggie referenced Glenn at the end, citing that he brought the family all together and she was just taking his lead. I never did look at it that way. I thought it was very emotional, beautiful, and well stated. I didn't see the point of having Jadis asking Michonne for permission to lay with Rick. Though the look on Rick's face was funny, Gimple loses brownie points. All in all, Maggie was inspiring. Eugene is a traitor. Jadis needs to back the hell up. Ezekiel was bae. Michonne has my heart. Also, I believe I reblogged you on Tumblr, but here's my fanfic page. Cranes in the Sky. So, Cranes in the Sky. Morgan, check it out.
Yep.
excuse me. Yeah. I kind of feel like Sasha went out fighting, though. Mm-hmm. This is where, like, I gotta disagree a little bit on this, Morgan. I agree with, like, basically everything else she said. But, Yeah, I think she did go out fighting. I think that was the way that she could fight, was by using herself as a weapon.
Yeah.
Because if she had gotten into the casket, like hypothetically, and had still been alive, how do we think this would have ended?
Right.
I don't think anybody would have gotten the jump in on Negan. I just don't think it could have happened. So I think she did the best she could to give them a fair chance.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Michelle.
Michelle, finally a finale I could sink my teeth in. Hi, Kia and Mel. I'm in a meeting as I...
She's bailing on work for us. I love it.
I'm in a meeting as I write this, so apologies if I'm all over the place. So much to say, and hopefully this gets to you in time. We got it, girl. get ready for another numbered list.
I love that.
You're not the only one this week.
No, everybody does. I love it.
Number one, once I heard Donny Hathaway's music, I knew we were in for some tears. I love seeing Abraham again and hearing a few Abrahamisms, and really enjoyed the scenes with him and Sasha. I don't know if you caught The Talking Dead, but Michael Cutlets made an appearance, which was quite sweet.
Precious.
Yes, it was. I think we've talked separately or together, or whatever, how we kind of don't watch Talking Dead before we record. But this one, I wanted to, because I wasn't really doing anything today that I needed to get up for. And, you know, Sonequa, so.
That was that's why I watched it, too. Yeah. I really wanted to see the pairing of Sonequa and Norman and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And then I was like, oh, my God, Cudley.
Right.
What?
It was very sweet.
Boo. Love him.
Number two, I realize it's my issue, but for some reason, the smiley face blueberry pancakes bother the hell out of me. Negan's narcissism gets in his way again. He fails to realize that the one death is going to be hers. Short of screaming it in his face, she is telling him she's going to be that death. Number three, I was hoping that Daryl would have killed Dwight. What I really would have loved to see was maybe Tara pulling out a knife or a gun and killing Dwight. She was well on her way to going full Lady Macbeth. They're yelling at Daryl to do it. Do it. Do it. Number four. Oh, the heapsters. Of course, being the hipsters that they truly are, some of them had to ride into town on bikes. Jadis asking Michonne about laying with Rick was bizarre and kind of funny. Rick's reaction is what really made me laugh. What made me really laugh. Very Homer Simpson backing up into the bushes.
I swear, I feel like we, us and our, and the people that listen to us is like, we're all together.
Yeah.
Like, we share a brain. It's super scary and awesome.
You ever hear the one about that stupid little prick named Rick who thought he was in on the trick but didn't realize that the Negan tipsters were the junkyard hipsters?
Oh my God. She's the best. Shit.
The way they were strolling around Alexandria looking at each other, they may as well have been holding signs that said, "We're here to fuck up your plans." Right? Especially that dude with the umbrella on the show.
Oh my God.
Why the hell was Rick still trying to make a deal with Jadis? Let it go, man. Right? She shot you, kicked you off a ledge, took you to Negan. Do you need anything further to realize she is not to be trusted?
Oh my God, I love everything about that.
I know. Eugene. For the time being, I guess he's all in with Negan, but when he inevitably turns against Negan or has to flee to save his life, where can he run to? I don't see him making it out of next season alive, but cowards have a way of surviving at the expense of others.
Truth.
Yeah. Number six, the fight with Michonne and the skanky bitch was so hard to watch. It felt like I was being hit. I knew Michonne was going to be okay once she was able to grab the broken piece of pottery. That's how she took out the governor's eye. The remaining fight scenes were great. Cue the heroic background music. Yes, I cheered insanely when the kingdom and hilltop folks showed up. Shiva got some fresh food, kingdom folks on horseback, and the horses lived. Jerry survived. Unfortunately, he did not get to use his battle axe. Maggie was awesome. Carol commanding. Eric was fighting and lived. No hesitation on Morgan's part to kill, Ezekiel channeling his inner King Henry V, and Negan screaming a goddamn tiger, and that widow is alive, guns a-blazing. Hell, even zombie Sasha was able to dine on some fresh savior before being put out of her misery by Maggie and Jesus. However, towards the end, there was an awful lot of Hollywood-style shooting and lots of missing. Missing what? Oh, missing people?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Number 7, Michonne, Rick, and Carl reuniting. The tears were flowing. I love them all so much. Their relief at her being alive, Rick stroking her arm, I can't deal. I love them so much. To hell with Daryl if he dies. To hell with if Daryl dies, he riot. Though I like Daryl. If Michonne dies, we riot.
Hell yes, yeah. Girl. Hell yes. Better not. You better not. This show better be over. When you decide that you're going to kill her, it's better be done.
Yeah.
But be done.
Number 8. Maggie's speech was a great way to show how much Glenn is still with all of them. The last line, Glenn made the decision. I was just following his lead. Right in the feels. Damn, I miss Glenn. He was their best self. I'm sure there's plenty I'm forgetting, but it was a lot of fun. I'm a bit more hopeful now for seasons. What? I was like, 8.
Like me at the beginning. I was like, blip, blip, blip. What am I doing?
Lastly, I want to thank you both for being an outlet for all of us crazy Walking Dead fans. Thanks for the live tweeting, the podcast, the snark, and the love. You are the best, Michelle.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Michelle, we're not dying.
I mean, God, we'll still be here. No, that is so sweet.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we're still going to be around, so don't worry, Michelle. That she always cracks me up with every, like, her feedback. I'm like, good grief. I'm just going to start reading your stuff. I'm not even going to talk anymore. Bye. Okay. Do you have anything to add to all this?
No, I mean, I think kind of the sentiment, what Michelle said, I am excited for season 8.
Yes.
I think it was it Melanie said she wanted Negan dead by half.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want that too.
I would like to have some kind of resolve with Negan, like whatever that it looks like. I want that to have happened by mid-season. I know we had talked about this off mic earlier today that I don't want this all out war thing to have to last for the whole season.
Yeah.
Or like plus some. I'm like, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Let's don't do that.
But yeah, I guess for this finale, like you said before, is way better than last season. I'm glad they didn't lie like they did last year.
Yes.
But I mean, we are going to have the wrap up. So
We are. So guys, we're going to have, you're not done with us just yet. Can't get rid of us that easy. We're going to have a season 7 wrap up. That'll come out, a week from whenever you're hearing this. And we'll have a special guest joining us. Aaron Quayle from Hidden Remote is going to be our special guest. And if you guys have any thoughts about overall the season, season 7, or if you have any questions that you want to ask us about it, send those to twodeadchicks@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to answer those and talk about those on the show. And another reminder, just get those contest submissions in to twodeadchicks@gmail.com. Remember, 5 moments. You can send them 5 separate emails. You can send them by a carrier pigeon. Whatever you need to do, it's fine. It's all good. We'll still put it in.
We're announcing it on the wrap up, right?
Yes, we will be announcing it on that wrap up. So, yes. And again, it is a random raffle. So do not try to appeal to us. You don't have to pick a show moment just because you know we love it. only do that if it's what's in your heart. And why wouldn't it be in your heart? I'm just saying. Okay. And you know, even though the season is over, you know, we're still going to be around. We'll still be doing our old episode recaps and everything. So, you know, still, you know, keep the conversations going, in the months leading up to the season 8 premiere, using the hashtag TDCpod. And we'll still be around. We'll still be talking to you guys. And it's, wow, what a season.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.